United Nations is welcoming the 5 billionth person alive in the world.
The White House today denies reports the U.S. sent weapons-related equipment to Iran as late as last month. The recent scandal at the PTL ministry are taking a toll on the credibility.
Kim Baker resigned.
In a very wrong world. Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, the local talk show that stimulates your mind and keeps you thinking about things going on in your world. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps you informed and keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and Friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at tracyandfriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Well, good afternoon, and welcome to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. Hope you're having a good day today. It is 7 minutes after the hour of 12 noon here on the 16th of May. The sun is shining. It's warm weather outside. The heat has hopefully gone off for the rest of the next 5 months, I pray. The air can now start coming on. I'll be happy with that. And things are good here in Northeast Ohio, and I hope they're well with you. Hope you're having a good lunch today. In studio with me, it is the fourth Thursday of the month. Third Thursday. Okay, third Thursday. Are you sure, Mark?
Yes, ma'am.
First and third, huh?
I looked at the calendar and everything.
Yep. So the third Thursday of the month. And Mark Manji's here with me, and it's always a blessing to have him. I've got Dr. Brandy coming in. I don't know where she is. She's missing in action, but she's on her way. And then I have Elder James Tyson. He's going to come wait until you meet him. He is a friend of mine, and I am so impressed with this young man, and we're going to support him. Ha.
Hey, Tracy, Mark. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Can I be politically incorrect for
Absolutely.
A minute? This is just, I hate to be politically incorrect, but you look good today. You look really nice. I want to just...
Hold on. Let me get one of them rubber checks out. Thanks, Mark.
No, you look really good today.
I'm trying.
Must be because the important guests are coming in, you know.
I've been eating right.
Okay.
I've been eating right. I've been trying to do the right thing. You know,
you're doing good with that. You look great. So
I'm eating right. Right now I'm on the quest of not eating past 7.
That's an important thing to do. That's my downfall, is eating after 7. I'm good until 7 o'clock, and then everything goes to pot. And I mean that literally and figuratively
absolutely.
In my stomach.
I'm not eating past 7, and I don't think people realize, you know, how hard it is for me not to eat past 7. I cannot eat all day long, but when 6:30 comes, the munchies come, and I want stuff.
Yeah.
And even if I eat healthy past 7, it still sticks. But I am doing very well, so thank you so very much for noticing.
No,
I'm working hard at it.
Good. You just look great. Your hair looks nice, too.
Thank
this
you.
Is
thank
really,
you.
Really nice.
This is my summer workout due.
All right.
The politically incorrect summer workout due. Hey, the number is 347-945-5229. Until Dr. Brandy gets here, I think she might be even coming at 1, but whenever she gets here, she'll just walk in and she has kind of
the email you sent to me was 12:30.
Oh, that might be true, too. I don't know.
So
you never know with me. I'm real twisted. That's why Dr. Brandy's coming in today. See, usually she comes the second Thursdays of the month, but, you know, I have to have my monthly therapy session.
Yeah.
So that I can, like, woo-saw and get it right. So
yeah.
She's coming in now. So whenever she gets here, because it's probably me.
Yeah.
So, Mark, well, let's talk about customer service before we get anywhere.
Oh.
I know, Mark, you got to understand, he had a happy day, the sun was shining, things were good, and then he had a McDonald moment.
Yeah, it wasn't so good. I don't want to say too much.
No, because I need to, because, you know, it is not just there, it's a lot of places. People work like they're doing people favors, and they have not learned good customer service, and that's a problem.
There was an article in this week's Time magazine talking about the folks of this particular generation who are working, and they call it the me generation, the millennials, and how they, I don't know how to put it, the degree of narcissism in this particular age group is off the charts. It was a fascinating article. I'm not a big fan. I'm not particularly a big fan of Time magazine, but this article was just terrific. And talking about how people that were born between 1985 and I think 2000 or the years we're talking about, have this attitude that the whole world's about them. They said it so that it was an unintended consequence of parents you know, trying to give their children positive reinforcements. And they said the unexpected side effect is that these kids have become legends in their own mind. They don't know how to interact with people. They don't want to interact with people. And they don't know how to treat people. And even in the workplace, they go and they treat their bosses bad. They treat the customers bad. They bypass channels. And it's a real problem.
Well, you know, I think that the problem is, if you look how disrespectful young people are to their parents and how much leeway they have in the home. See, I was raised up in an area and a time of restraint.
Mm-hmm.
So no matter how much she may have gotten under my skin, there was a restraint that we really could not just blow off steam, slam doors, roll eyes, and curse.
Yeah.
The next generation, they have gotten to the place where they get to release their anger. I didn't come from a generation of release. It was total restraint. No matter how upset a parent could make you, you just couldn't walk up and curse her out and say, you get on my, it wasn't allowed.
Yeah.
And so if you look at the generation now, a lot of young people get to have that freedom. And if you get to have that freedom in your home, you can imagine the freedom that you have inside of a place where you don't feel restrained.
Yeah, there seems to be no sense of what they need to get along in the world. Now, I'm a lawyer, so I don't want to go into what happened at the restaurant afternoon. But, you know, it's absolutely indicative of what these folks today view as a sense of entitlement because of their narcissism. I'm just amazed. I mean, the girls, you look at some of the people that are working today around, I've come from the old school. You know, if you want to pierce your nose, go pierce your nose. That's fine. You know, they've got the little rings going.
But you need to take it out when you go to work.
Take it out when you go to work.
I have a friend, and since you're a lawyer, you won't let me talk, but I've got a friend who got sued.
Yeah.
Because he didn't want people that have tattoos, showing tattoos. If you have tattoos, you have to wear long sleeves.
Yeah.
If you have showing tattoos on your neck, you can't work in the front. If you have more than one piercing, you can't work in the front. Because he's looking for a certain image inside of his establishment, and he's been sued.
How did it come out?
He paid for it.
I'm sorry. You know, you've got to appeal to your customer base, and if you're Abercrombie and Fitch and you want to appeal to that particular customer base, then you go hire those particular salespeople. On the other hand, if you're dealing with people who are my age, who don't really want to look at that, and I have to watch. You know, I know a lot of folks that have, you know, that are tattooed, and you know, that's fine, I guess.
It's okay. You know, I it's not for me. And if you have to have tattoos, there's not a problem. But I have a friend, and I got lots of friends. I've got a friend, and he is a businessman.
Yeah.
And he's tatted. He's an older gentleman.
Yeah.
I hope he's listening. He's an older gentleman. You know, he's a little bit older than me. And he is tatted. And he is a real conservative, you know, businessman.
Yeah.
And, you know, when I met him, he had on a long sleeve shirt and he had slacks on. He had a suit on and a coat. And, you know, I've known him for a long time. And then one day he showed up in shorts at a picnic. And a short sleeve shirt,
yeah.
And it was like, whoa, that's just so strange. I mean, he's tatted down his arms. He's got these wild tattoos on his legs and his arms.
Yeah.
And I would have never expected for his personality to be so conservative in his structure, and then to show up at a picnic tatted like a biker. And it made me realize that you can do what you choose, but you don't always have to express who you are everywhere.
Yeah. I mean, this idea about folks being able to be them, it's a crock. If everybody wanted to be everything that they want to be out in public with no disregard. We'd have anarchy. There'd be people running around naked, you know, because they need to be free. We want to feel free. We have to have standards in our society in order to get along. I'm sorry.
Can you see us all?
Your body's not that attractive. Please cover it up.
As great as your body look, it's still not that attractive.
That's right.
I mean, and let me also throw this into the mix since we're talking about this. We have to realize it is young ladies. I know you are. You know, you're sexy. But sexy is a state of mind, and it's more best for you to leave some things to the imagination than to put everything out on Front Street.
Yeah.
Just so I say that out loud. You know, it's something about that. I mean, people need to understand, and for some reason we've gotten sexy into sleazy. And there's a fine line between sexy and sleazy, but you're supposed to leave some things to the imagination. You're not supposed to show all your cookies.
No.
Well, they haven't, because we've talked about the process.
But you know, I don't want to see all the cookies.
But they think men want to see the cookies, so they show them all the ingredients of the cookies.
Now, Tracy, you and I both know women don't dress for men. Women dress for other women.
Not when they take all their clothes off.
I don't know about that.
No.
I don't know.
Dressing for men is when we're dressing up with our shoes and we're dressed. But when we are dressing for men, we think that naked is for men.
I'm stunned at some of the stuff I see. The problem is that the tattooing and the piercing has become so predominant among people, you know, under 25. It's hard to find somebody who's not. And you're viewed as being something wrong with you if you don't do those things. I don't want to see a ring in your lip. I don't want to see rings lining your nose. I don't want to see 10 rings going down your ear. Take it off when you go to work. You look disgusting. And you're going to act the same way. The people, you know, people are going to look at you, and they're going to perceive that this is, you know, something that you may not want them to think of you. I don't know.
Well, Dr. Brandy,
but that's just me.
Dr. Brandy won't be with us, so you get to hear the nuts me and Mark again.
Uh oh.
it happens. You guys have to realize it happens. South Carolina, your mic is on.
Wow, Tracy,
what
am I walking into?
Hey,
I mean, I'm too sexy for my shirt.
Too sexy.
Listen, the definition of what sexy has been turned on its ear and spanked. Listen, the thing that gets me is it's gotten to the point where I'm seeing women in their pajamas. My grandmother used to wear this thing. She used to call it her sleep frock. But you would never catch my grandmother, my mother, or my sisters outside in this thing. But I'm seeing women at the convenience store with their pajamas on, walking down the street with their pajamas on at Walmart. And I'm like, what is this?
You have to. When's the last time you interviewed people?
Interview them?
Yeah, you know, for a job.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. I've been interviewed. Last time I interviewed someone was about 2 years ago. But none of these folks that I interviewed, well, there was one.
I had a young lady.
You can tell she had the distinctive hole in her nose where she had the ring there, or the little post or whatever they call them.
I had a young lady come for a job interview, and she had flip flops on. And I'm not, when I said, no, let's get this right. She had house shoe flops on. She had half her hair braided and the other half not braided, with a comb stuck in the back. And I want
to
say,
trying to get no job.
She was just she was just trying to waste my time.
She wasn't trying to get no job. That's for sure.
216, your mic is on.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
It's always good to hear from you.
Thanks. I appreciate that. I want to issue a challenge out to everybody listening. I'm looking for a girl in her 20s with no tattoos no babies, and is not on drugs. It is very rare. No babies, no tattoos, not on drugs. It's very rare. You can't believe how rare it is.
I can get you a baby and no tats. I can get you tats and no babies.
Right.
I can get you outside of 20. But
I can get you outside of 20.
Yeah.
I can get you outside of 20.
No, I mean, she's younger than 20.
No, that means that's pedophilia.
I'm a parent of a 17-year-old, and let me argue the other side now. You got to choose your battles. My daughter was, wanted tattoos, and everyone's getting tattoos, and she wants this and that. And finally, I broke down, and I let her get the nose ring. It's a little dot. It's not like a hoop in her nose, but the little dots on the side. And it doesn't look bad. Sometimes you got to choose your battles, and maybe a lot of that's going on.
Yeah, but have you told her to take it out when she goes to a job interview, when she goes to work?
No, she has a job, and they hired her with it on. But it's just a retail, after-school retail job. But, yeah, I've told her that if when she wants to get a real job, she'll have to take that out. Isn't there a hole in the nose then?
But like I said, there is, we can do a lot of things. People can do as they choose. What you see at work with me and what you see at home with me, there's really two different Tracys. We were talking about schizophrenia. I have multiple personalities. I really do. There is a professional Tracy, and then there is a Tracy. And the two don't always merge.
Yeah, it's like, I wonder, we had this very discussion last night at another one of the organizations that I'm involved with relating to dress codes. I don't understand. Don't people look in the mirror before they go out? In what world do they think they look good when they come out like they just rolled out of bed? And all that shows me is they just don't take care of themselves about enough to fix themselves up. We were at a restaurant for Mother's Day, and it's not cheap, and people are in there, they look like they're, over at Burger King.
But the adults, the people in their 40s, 50s, and 60s, I saw a man yesterday that I know, we grew up together.
Yeah.
He's 50 years old, and he was busting a sag, just like the young man I saw cutting grass today with his bands out. I mean, I don't understand that. There used to be a separation of adulthood and youth.
No.
You're right. I see that, too.
You know what I mean? We didn't dress like
yep.
our kids. My mom didn't dress like me.
Yep.
And I didn't dress like my mom. Yeah?
I get the weirdest look because every day when I go to work, if I don't press them the night before, I always iron my shirt, I iron my pants. I like creases so sharp that they can cut bread. And when I leave out the house, my shoes are shined. And if I've grown a little hair, it's fine. I mean, I like it's well groomed. And it's like you don't see that too much anymore.
Because we had standards. And that's a good segue into, and I'm going to take a break in just a second, but that was a standard. And what's happening is we've lost our standards. That's why we have politicians acting like they do, and we have this acronym alphabet mess in D.C. Because we have let go of all standards. Even if we did not agree, we had a standard of respect, self-respect, and respect for other people.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, I mean, you didn't go to work and cuss the customer out.
No.
You might cuss the coworker out, but not the customer. There was a standard. But then when you came to work, you were always pressed and you were always erect. There was a standard. You couldn't come to wear busting a sag in a wrinkled shirt. I got fired because my skirt was too short one day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't think they can do that today. I don't know. And I just, you get tired of being reduced to the least common denominator.
Can I sue Loman?
Yes.
Good. Listen, I'm going to take a break. You're listening to Tracy and Friends. The number is 347-945-5229. We'll be right back.
Boardman Frame House Gallery, a professional frame shop and art gallery at the Mark Shopping Center in Poland at Routes 224 and 680. We specialize in original, limited, and antique lithographs of both renowned nationally published artists and local artists. We have over 30 years of award-winning custom design and archival framing. We give your artwork a unique presentation that enhances its value for life. Let your home or office express something individual and unique with a fine art limited edition print signed by the artist and numbered. You'll find many unique and affordable fine art editions. Visit us in the Mart Shopping Center. Find the Greenwich Workshop Catalog. And for any print or canvas you order, you get 50% off the frame for that fine art edition. Find us on Facebook or call us at 330-758-5795.
I'm Mark Lavoie, WSOM News. The Youngstown City Council approved a plan to seek proposals for the future of the city's parks. Youngstown has 45 parks that are designed to serve about 150,000 people. That's more than twice the city's current population. The council wants ideas for an affordable park system that provides the needed services. A convicted felon from Cincinnati is charged with raping a woman in Warren in April. 23-year-old Kevin Johns, who has spent about 3 years in prison, did not enter a plea in a hearing yesterday. Prosecutors say Johns raped a 20-year-old woman and kidnapped her and another woman. Police have arrested an Austintown man in connection with an explosion at a house that was caused by cutting through a gas pipe. 27-year-old Sean Villers is accused of breaking into the vacant home to steal copper. He's also accused of robbing two gas stations in February. You're up to date. I'm Mark Lavoie, WSOM News.
And now, Crestview Auto Body presents The Secret Conversations of Deer.
So, back from car baiting again, Mr. Daredevil?
Yep, but that's not why I do it, though.
This ought to be good. Why do you jump in front of cars?
The signs.
What signs?
Those insulting signs.
What's wrong now?
Those deer crossing signs are an insult to all self-respecting deer. I don't look like that. You don't look like that. And what's with this leaping pose? We're not always leaping.
So that's why you're jumping in front of cars?
I'm not just jumping in front of cars. I'm taking a stand against the man. Oh, here comes another one. Join me in the fight!
Crestview Auto Body doesn't really know why that deer jumped in front of your car, but we do know how to fix it after, with the area's most expert collision repair. Crestview Auto Body, like it never happened, with locations in New Waterford, Salem, and Calcutta.
Chances are your air conditioner isn't going to quit working between 8 and 5 on a weekday. Ainsley Heating and Cooling thinks you shouldn't pay more when your air conditioner breaks after 5 p.m., day or night, even weekends. The Ainsley Group doesn't charge unnecessary fees. Maybe that's why they're welcome in more homes in northeastern Ohio and western Pennsylvania than any other contractor. Call Ainsley Heating and Cooling, 330-637-1911 or ainsleyhtg.com.
If you have a parent entering a nursing home, are the executor of an estate, or just need a will, this message is for you. The Law Office of J.M. Shade is able to help you make the right choices to ensure that you and your family are protected. Call us toll-free, 866-606-6187. Again, 866-606-6187. Or see our site for more information at jmselderlaw.com. JMSElderLaw.com. Estate planning made simple.
Everyone faces challenges in their lives. Handling it on our own sometimes is too overwhelming, but Turning Point Counseling can help. Turning Point offers the highest quality, individualized, confidential behavioral health care. Our professional and caring staff can help you or your loved one get started on the road to recovery today. Turning Point Counseling, because behavioral health care is health care. Don't wait. Visit our website for more information or call today for care. Everybody faces challenges in their lives. Sometimes these challenges can be too much to handle on our own. That's where Turning Point Counseling can help for depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts, drug and alcohol abuse and addiction, personality disorders, crisis intervention, and more. Turning Point also provides residential services in our crisis stabilization unit for those who need inpatient care. Turning Point Counseling Services, helping you on the road to recovery.
1-800-530-WSOM or 347-945-5229. Call in now to talk to Tracy and friends on Newstalk 600 WSOM.
Hey, we're back. And you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number again is 347-945-5229. Mark Manchie is in studio with me, and it's always an honor to have him here with me on the first and third Thursdays. You just don't know when you have friends, you need to cherish them and bring them in, and he's a wealth of knowledge. And so I just want to say that out loud. He makes me feel good because he told me I look good today.
Well, thank you very much. I'm a wealth of something. I'm not sure it's knowledge. Talk to my wife, she'll tell you.
Well, that's different. You know, wife knowledge and friend knowledge is two different knowledges. And South Carolina's on the phone right now, and we want to hear from you also. Dr. Brandy's not going to make it today. She'll be here next month, and we'll do schizophrenia next month. And so today you're just stuck with two nuts with, well, maybe five. Well, they say I have three personalities, and Mark said he has two, which means we have the five here, and so we're straight. South Carolina, how many personalities do you have? Oh, he doesn't even have one. So,
see, when it gets loud, guys, I have to turn the thing down.
Oh, there he is.
Oh, okay. So how many personalities do you have?
No,
don't be trying to. Jeff has at least five, so you can't just have one. If Mark has two and I have three, Jeff has five, you have how many?
Now, Marines don't have personalities. We have switches.
Listen,
the switches in one direction, I'm normal. When the switch is in another direction, you don't want to be the one that's the receiver of the wrath.
So how many personalities is that? That's what I'm – okay, now let's look. I watch Scandal. And when you look at people that are in the Marines, people that are Marxists, people that are sharpshooters, and people that are – you have to have multiple personalities because you can't be the same all the time because you have to have controls. There we go. That's a good – there you go. You have to have controls. And you're in some areas you have less control than others. You have to tone down the personality. Put her away in the closet and don't bring her out until you're at home alone. Because your home personality and your public personality should be two separate personalities in some areas.
Yeah, that's hard to do. I mean, it's hard for me. Sooner or later, the real me comes out when I'm talking with people. Sometimes I just,
well,
know.
It's all you, but let me say it this way. As a woman and a woman in business, you may be the CEO of a company completely, and you may be the manager of everything and the buck stops with you in your business. But when you go home to your husband, there's a different kind of personality that has to come out to deal with him.
Yeah.
If I'm wrong, guys, well, it should. I'm still the same person, but I can't come in there slamming doors and telling them I'm the boss, and if you don't like it, take a hike. That's why folks are home alone.
See, that's a problem.
That's what I'm saying.
When I'm doing my job and I'm out with different groups of people, you gotta, you know, put on a little bit of the act. I'm a lawyer, and we call it dog and pony shows, and you know, we have to maintain a certain aura about us, I guess, in order for us to succeed. A lot of bravado took me a long time to realize that a lot of it was just that. You know, when you get below the surface, it's a different story. But, you know, today it just seems like nobody cares. This article, and I keep going back to it because it's fascinating. The author said that back in the 1950s and 60s, when you would walk into somebody's living room, you'd look around, there might be a picture of mom and dad, maybe a picture of their dog, and a picture of the son if he was in the service.
Right.
That was pretty much it.
Not in the black household.
You walk into living rooms today, you've got 85 pictures of the kids standing around doing all sorts of things, and they've got trophies coming out the kazoo. And the net result of this is that they have really become overly narcissistic and believes that everything centers around them. Because you've had parents for 10 years or 20 years telling them, you know what, it's okay. You're so wonderful. You're so wonderful. It's just their try. And you get a trophy for this, and they're giving them graduations when they're graduating from preschool, from, you know, enough. Nothing is earned. It's just given to them.
That's why we have this mentality, entitlement mentality.
Yeah.
That's why everybody is on the – I mean, everything that right now is all about making me look good and never doing the right thing.
Yeah. It's one thing to give your kid a little bit of self-esteem. It's another thing to make him think that the whole world revolves around him. It doesn't work that way. And then we get out into the world and face the truth. They can't cope. And this article goes on to say, worse than that, they don't even care.
They don't, because they don't have to. Because if I get fired, someone else will take care of my problem.
Yeah, this is you know, stuff to be concerned about. Right now, if you're looking at people 25 and under, you have the least participation rate in the political system that we've ever had in our history. They don't know, they don't care, and they don't participate. And that's a danger, because they don't know what's going on outside of their little world of cell phones and video games and their internet connected TV and their computers and their pads and everything else. And, you know, they think they can solve the problems by punching a question into the computer. It doesn't work that way.
It does.
Tracy, you know, years ago I heard a guy have an analogy about children. And he said children come into the world like little savages, okay? That's what he said there were. And we have to train them and tame them and, quote-unquote, domesticate them to living in the world that we live in. The problem that I'm seeing now, though, is we're kind of pacifying them, and that's about it. But they're still little savages because we're not teaching them anything.
Children don't own parents do not own their children.
Well, you got everybody else interfering. I mean, the school systems are telling you what to eat. The school systems are telling you what you should do and shouldn't do. The school systems are weighing your children. The school systems are telling you that your children aren't doing this or aren't doing that. But God forbid you slap their butt because they act up in a restaurant or a grocery store and you've got children services banging on your door. What do? You give up.
There is a website called capitalism.org, and it says do parents own their children like they own their house? Parents do not own their children, but they are just their guardians. But you don't own them. I don't believe that.
I don't either.
I own my kid until he's old enough that he can own himself.
Outside of child abuse.
And
I'm talking about child abuse in a very restricted way, you know. Everybody ought to mind their own business is what's going on in people's homes and let parents raise their kids. I'm going to show you a picture. This is what we're living with today. And I know your audience can't see it, but looks like half the people I deal with.
As a matter of fact, she looks like Nicki Minaj. And we celebrate her, and she has no talent.
Which is the other thing the article talks about. It says these children are being raised on reality shows.
Oh, don't get me started.
Which are nothing but narcissistic ventures of people showing the world everything about their life, and their aspirations aren't transferred to being CEOs or being executives or being successful teachers or successful or accountants or lawyers. Their aspirations are being celebrity.
Right.
Because you don't have to do anything. And you get Facebook and you get Twitter, and you measure your success by how many friends you have on Facebook or who's following you on Twitter and how many people like your current status. That's how they measure success.
Because we're out of balance. Hey, Alabama, your mic is on. But we're out of balance. I mean, we have no balance. Again, it goes back to restraint. Everything has restraint, and when there is not restraint, there's chaos.
Yeah.
I mean, really, think about this. When oceans go beyond their restraint, their parameters, we have hurricanes and we have tsunamis. We have devastation. When the earth goes outside of its parameters, we have earthquakes.
Yeah.
Even trees have limitations and they stop growing. As a matter of fact, people stop growing. The problem is we have not taught restraint and balance. I mean, it's okay if you want to have a tattoo, it's your business.
Yeah.
But you need to still be functional. We see people, and they have tattoos all in their face and down their arms and in their legs, with their butt and around the corner, and we say it's okay. And they come to work with an attitude.
Did they ever think of what those are going to look like when they're 80?
No.
I mean, what looks nice and perky is going to look saggy and disgusting as they get older. It doesn't take long these days, believe me.
To give you an idea of what kind of restraint that you have in the military, and I don't know about the other branches of service, but if you have a tattoo that is below your sleeve line, then chances of you getting promoted are pretty slim.
Are you serious?
I'm serious with a heart attack.
I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either. That's interesting.
Yeah. Yep.
And no one has challenged that yet?
Well, people have challenged it, but it's basically an unwritten rule. It was an open rule when I was in. You definitely didn't want to get a tattoo that was on your forearm.
Wow. So let me ask you this, going back to dress code a little bit. When I was coming up, we had dress code in school. We had to have hose. We had to have socks. Boys couldn't have beards. They couldn't have mustaches too long. They couldn't. Teachers had dress code. Everybody had a code of some type of style. How do you think that has played into what we see today in our marketplace and in our workplace? Because right now, I mean, it's really bad.
Well, Tracy, if you look at the 60s, a lot of those guys that were, you know, free love, free, you know, peace and hippie, the whole hippie look, what do those guys look like today?
Right now they're in Congress. They look like the Secretary of State, if you ask me, and they look like the former Secretary of State, if I'm not mistaken.
They wanted the system to conform to them, but what happened? Reality set in, and they had to conform.
That's something to think about.
Yeah.
But the problem is they're still evolving the system.
Trying to, anyway.
Really, look at what's going on in D.C. right now. You've got a lot of free love liberals who are conforming the system to what they want, and what we see is sheer chaos. Do we not? And it's happening because of not having restraint. Restraint tells you you don't go after people because of their independent thought politically. You just can't stop them from getting a nonprofit status. Restraint tells you that at 3 o'clock in the morning when the phone rings, you answer it and you don't tell people to stand down when people can get killed. It's not that they got killed. The problem is you didn't send any help when they were right there.
Yeah, the one commentator I heard said, you know, that what they're claiming is it wouldn't have made any difference anyways. But at the time they made the decision, they didn't know that. That thing, a lot of people think that attack went on in an hour. That thing went on for 8 or 9 hours.
Oh, no. And people don't realize, you know, yes, they say, you know, well, President Bush did this and this is what happened there. This is not about what people dying. People die every day. It's about how they handle people dying.
Yeah.
It's about the management of it, not of the process of the outcome of it. And pretty much that's it. Even with the that's for Benghazi. Even with the IRS, you know, it is, you don't do that. You don't go after people personally and then put health care in front of them too.
But
Tracy, in a 10-command situation, you know, anyone that's been in the military knows that it rolls downhill. But if it reflects poorly on the leadership if the command is in disarray. And right now, the command is in total disarray.
No, they're not.
I mean, yes, they are.
No, they're not.
Huh.
All you're doing is picking on the president.
He's the commander-in-chief. He's responsible for it.
He's
not. His watch.
Nope.
He's not.
No,
well, let me ask you guys a question, though. Like, don't you feel like, and this is something that I know is kind of touchy, but how can he be viewed as an equal or capable of being able to, us as blacks, be viewed as an equal or capable of being able to compete with our white counterpart if a guy like Obama gets in and he does all these things he's doing, and the racism card gets thrown out every time, you know, somebody stumps their toe? It kind of minimizes true racism, which is out there. And I just feel it's really going to make it like hard for the next African American person that's coming in, because he has this untouchable air about him, and he's very arrogant, condescending. And I just feel like it's somewhat unfair because he doesn't have to compete. He's just, he can be mediocre because he's black, and it's sad. It's really sad.
You know, I'm going to make a comment about that, and I think it's fascinating that the comment that you just made. But if you look at the context of what's going on, race isn't an issue. It has nothing to do with race.
But they're putting race into it.
But yeah, race is getting inserted into it. But what Obama is doing is acting like every leftist socialist that's ever been around the world, regardless of race, color, or creed. These are how socialists act. It's an ideological issue, not a racial issue, and it's too bad it's being perceived as a racial issue, because it's not. You know,
no, what I'm saying is he uses that. That's his shield. He doesn't have
to. Sure.
Yeah, because like the guy from the NAACP, the former chairman, was just like, just makes loud, crazy statements. Nobody's able. I was listening to a quote-unquote Christian gospel show yesterday, and the guy talking about we need to use the Bible and quote, you know, use the reference, and we should need to follow. Then he goes out and says everybody's racist that disagree, that all these people are picking on Obama because they're racist. Instead, I'm just like, well, that's just lazy. You're not really trying to find the truth out, and there's no way you saying you're a Christian and you are judging people's hearts and intentions and motives without them outright telling you that that's their intentions. You really are just judging people. You don't know for a fact. You're condemning them. You're not even judging them.
Let me throw this into the mix, because I had this conversation yesterday when I got off the air with a friend of mine, and this is what was said. I was telling them that they had, I said, you know, you need to take that, you'd get more business if you took that picture of President Obama out of the foyer of your restaurant. He said, I'm not taking it down. He said, I don't care if nobody comes to eat here. He said, he's the first African-American president, and I'm proud to see it. He said, even when I disagree with it. He says, no one says anything about Kennedy being up in other restaurants. He said, no one said anything about other presidents being up in their restaurants, especially with him being a sitting president. So why would anybody care of the sitting president, me having a picture of the actual president inside of my establishment? And it made me think, because those issues are the subliminal institutional prejudices that we have, which is true. He is a sitting president, and no, like him, love him, we'd never say anything about another president being on a wall until it was President Barack Obama. But the card that is being used when it's not racist, such as going after him for his decision-making and his administrative decisions and his management, those are not racist issues. We need to understand.
I mean, but Tracy, if you put a George Bush or a Ronald Reagan picture, people would be upset too. So
No, we're talking about a sitting president. We're not talking about the former president. We're talking about a sitting president.
I mean, Bush would get your restaurant burned down. I mean, when he was back when he was in office.
No, you won't pay attention. No, it won't pay attention. It is a little bit more palatable to other people, even if you have a comment about it. There is a difference. And there are some conservatives, some Republicans that I know that will not patronize a business if you get that picture standing up in the middle of a restaurant when you first walk in.
But Tracy, I can actually respect someone. I can understand a black person saying, you know what, we never really thought we could get there. I mean, it's good to tell a child that, but to actually see it, it makes you feel good. I'll be lying if I didn't say that doesn't be. But at the same time, we're having our respect of wanting to feel good. We're holding that over the country as a whole and us going down in flame. Like, okay, he got there, he was there, fine. Now it's time for him to go, but no. They went out and voted again. What was the second time? There's no excuse for the second time. It's just, now it's just bitterness about the fact that, oh, they just against him because he's racist. I'm going to almost stand behind him. Even though you see that your black unemployment is higher than ever been, we suffered worse than we ever suffered in the last 50 years. But now it's just bitterness and pride that's the why people want him in there. It has nothing to do with his job, which makes it stupid now. That's just stupid.
Hey, Alabama, I'm going to pull up the press conference.
The region, including Turkey, shoulder this burden, doing our part as a major donor of humanitarian aid to the Syrian people, including those refugees in Turkey. And we're going to keep working with our Turkish partners to deliver the food, shelter, and medicine that's needed to save lives. At the same time, we're going to keep increasing the pressure on the Assad regime and working with the Syrian opposition. The Prime Minister has been at the forefront of the international effort to push for a transition to a democratic Syria without Bashar Assad. And Turkey is going to play an important role as we bring representatives of the regime and opposition together in the coming weeks. We both agree that Assad needs to go. He needs to transfer power to a transitional body. That is the only way that we're going to resolve this crisis. And we're going to keep working for a Syria that is free from Assad's tyranny, that is intact and inclusive of all ethnic and religious groups, and that's the source of stability, not extremism, because it's in the profound interests of all our nations, especially Turkey. So again, Mr. Prime Minister, I want to thank you for being here and for being such a strong ally and partner in the region and around the world. I know that Michelle appreciates the opportunity to host Mrs. Erdogan and your two wonderful daughters this morning. I'm looking forward to our dinner tonight, and as always, among the topics where I appreciate your advice is close to our hearts, and that's how to raise our daughters well. You're a little ahead of me in terms of their ages. With the Prime Minister's permission, I want to make one other point. There's been intense discussion in Congress lately around the attacks in Benghazi. We lost four brave Americans, patriots who accepted the risks that come with service because they know that their contributions are vital to our national interests and national security. I am intent on making sure that we do everything we can to prevent another tragedy like this from happening. But that means we owe it to them and all who serve to do everything in our power to protect our personnel serving overseas. That's why, at my direction, we've been taking a series of steps that were recommended by the review board after the incident. We're continuing to review our security at high-threat diplomatic posts, including the size and nature of our presence, improving training for those headed to dangerous posts, increasing intelligence and warning capabilities, and I've directed the Defense Department to ensure that our military can respond lightning quick in times of crisis. But we're not going to be able to do this alone. We're going to need Congress as a partner. So I've been in discussions, and my team has been in discussions with both Democrats and Republicans, and I'm calling on Congress to work with us to support and fully fund our budget requests to improve the security of our embassies around the world. We also need Congress to work with us to provide the resources and new authorities so we can fully implement all of the recommendations of the Accountability Review Board. And we're going to need Congress's help in terms of increasing the number of our Marine Corps Guard who protect our embassies. So I want to say to members of Congress and both parties, we need to come together and truly honor the sacrifice of those four courageous Americans and better secure our diplomatic posts around the world. And I should add, by the way, that we're getting some help from the Turkish government on some of these issues. That's how we learn the lessons of Benghazi. That's how we keep faith with the men and women who we send overseas to represent America, and that's what I will stay focused on as Commander-in-Chief. So with that, Mr. Prime Minister, welcome to the United States. I'm sorry the weather is not fully cooperating with our lovely Rose Garden press conference, but I think we'll be okay.
Thank you.
That means he's not going to take any questions yet?
Means that he's blaming Congress for what happened in Benghazi.
Huh?
Why are you playing that man running my blood pressure up? I don't want to hear it. I really don't want to hear him talk.
Yeah?
Here's a little rub with that. The president doesn't need Congress's approval to increase the number of Marines at the embassy. Here's the thing about the Marine Corps. The Marine Corps is a branch of service, but here's the other part. We are a force in readiness. We can operate at the will of the president. The president says he wants a detachment of Marines to go to a certain part of the world. Without Congress approval, he can do it. Overnight, he can have 50 Marines at each one of these embassies overnight. Very easy. Why don't you bring in Congress in? Just check history. You'll see where Marines have been dispatched all over the world and have gone on missions to you know, to put down, you know, insurrections and things like that. So I don't get that.
So also South Carolina, like, one thing he did say that I found kind of interesting was that he said, we're going to continue to support the opposition, which is, it's clear that the opposition is Al-Qaeda. I mean, those are, he's sending Al-Qaeda, it's the same people that we got on, you know, as terrorists. They're using those people to agitate the government to overthrow this guy. That's why they hate us. That's why America is hated, because we jump and play both sides of the fence, just like we did with Gaddafi. We used Al-Qaeda to overthrow Gaddafi and agitate those people. And then we say, well, he made that same speech, he has to go. Just because he speaks well and smooth, people just keep going throughout their lives and don't pay attention to what he's really saying. That's why he was a good president to destroy America, because he puts you to sleep. You know, like, oh, he's at the wheel. Let me go. Let me just not pay attention. And that's what most people do. And so meanwhile, he's out there going forward and doing what it is he has to do, which is, you know, I think he's being controlled to destroy this country. That's what I think.
Mark, because we were talking about standards. I mean, come on now. I'm truly embarrassed to have the president get up and give a speech with the Turkish prime minister, and the people actually don't care anything about what the prime minister of Turkey is saying. We want you to answer the questions, not about Benghazi of the past, but why you did what you did and why you allowed it to happen.
Sure.
And he's dancing around it. And the people that are sitting out in the galley talking to him, they don't care nothing about that.
No.
They want to ask him about the IRS. They want to ask him about the acronym Alphabet.
Right. Right. Listen, this guy did everything he did to get reelected. Period, end of discussion. This guy is a pure politician. He doesn't have in any kind of what's good for the country in him. He's interested in what's good for Barack, and he'll do anything that needs to be done to get it. You know, when the story about the IRS broke, you know, I thought, well, that's interesting. And it took about 12 hours for it to catch up to what it really needed to be, you know, as to what this guy did. Let me tell you something. There's nothing that happened that involved the Associated Press. There's nothing that happened relating to the IRS. And there's nothing that happened relating to Benghazi that he didn't know about, because he's a control freak and he knows everything.
So you think he knew?
Absolutely. And they're going to find out. I don't think he's going to make it the year.
I'm going to take a break. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. We'll be right back.
WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren, the home for afternoons with Tracy and Friends. News Talk 600, WSOM. You're listening to the Valley's News Talk, WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren. This is News Talk.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Aldinger. It was a devastating EF4 tornado that plowed through a North Texas town last night. At least six people were killed in Granbury near Fort Worth. ABC's Jim Ryan is there.
The twilight storm that crashed into this town Wednesday night brought several threats to Troy Beckingham, his home, and his car.
The wind picked up. It started raining a little bit. Then it started pee hail, got to golf ball size, got to baseball, and actually grapefruit.
Windshields and plate glass windows were shattered, but it was the wind that did the most damage to more than 100 homes. Jim Ryan, ABC News, Granbury, Texas.
President Obama will appoint a new interim commissioner of the IRS this week. Congressional Republicans are demanding a thorough investigation into allegations of abuses by the agency.
With the first congressional hearing coming up tomorrow on the IRS abuses, Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell says he's been flooded with what he calls horror stories of groups that faced IRS demands and delays on their applications for tax exemption.
This is what government intimidation and harassment looks like, my colleagues. It's completely unacceptable.
Finance Committee Chairman Senator Max Baucus promises a thorough investigation. Vic Ratner, ABC News, at the Capitol.
Two CDC studies are getting a lot of attention. One finds a fifth of all U.S. children have mental disorders, mainly ADHD. The CDC's Dr. Ruth Peru says the financial impact on families is extraordinary.
We're talking on an annual basis in the U.S., we spend about $247 billion to really address children's mental disorders.
Behavioral problems, anxiety, and depression are also much more common. The other study finds that the water in many public pools is contaminated with E. coli, and that can lead to skin rashes, ear infections, and other health problems. The Dow is up 8 points, NASDAQ ahead 5. This is ABC News.
Police called and broke the bad news to Charles. His personal and financial information was found on an identity thief's computer disk. Nervous and confused, Charles called LifeLock, the industry leader in identity theft protection. LifeLock went into action, uncovering multiple fraudulent credit applications the identity thief was trying to open in his name. LifeLock shut them down and helped him restore his good name and credit. Charles found out the hard way that identity theft is a global crime, a crime that's become so complex, you simply can't fight it alone. Your personal and financial information is everywhere. Don't wait for a call from the police before you take action. Visit LifeLock.com now or call and mention promo code AWARE to get a special 10% discount. Call 1-800-305-2203. 1-800-305-2203. 1-800-305-2203. See LifeLock.com for details. Network does not cover all transactions and scope may vary.
Hey, watch your language. You might be surprised to learn which state tops the list of the number of residents who are potty mouthed.
You talking to me?
So let me guess. You think New Yorkers swear the most.
Who do you think you're talking to?
Robert De Niro's taxi driver aside, this state doesn't even rank in the top five. Number one is Ohio, home to Cleveland, and the baseball team spoofed in the film Major League.
I hate this.
The Marchak Institute studied customer service calls and found angry Ohioans dropped the most S and F bombs, followed by Maryland, the state least likely to curse, Washington, followed by Massachusetts. What the f***? Scott Goldberg, ABC News, New York.
Boston Marathon organizers say runners who couldn't finish this year's race because of the explosions at the finish line will be able to come back next year. The registration for the 2014 marathon begins in September. More than 5,000 people were stopped on the course when the race was shut down. Daria Aldinger, ABC News.
I need to control internet usage in my office.
Do you want
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce. The full cup of love.
Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a cup of love.
If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
Do you depend on your computer? Then you know that a virus on your computer is bad news. But there is something you can do. Just call this number, 330-759-9700. That's 330-759-9700. That's the number for Ambassador Technologies in Liberty Township. Ambassador Technologies specializes in virus removal and restores your computer to full performance. We also specialize in computer repair, from desktops, laptops, laptop screens, laptop power supplies, laptop batteries, and hardware updates. And when your business needs networking, Ambassador Technologies is the place to go. Ambassador Technologies, Youngstown's best for computer repair, networking, website development, and even low-cost business cards and publishing. Call Ambassador Technologies at 330-759-9700. Online at ambastech.com. That's ambassTech.com.
Bosch Appliances are ranked highest in customer satisfaction with dishwashers by J.D. Power & Associates. You can find great deals on ultra-quiet Bosch dishwashers by visiting your local Bosch dealer for special promotions. J.D. Power & Associates 2012 Kitchen Appliance Satisfaction Study.
The Druschel Financial Report on News Talk 600, Saturdays at 8:30. Bob Druschel discusses investment strategies for today's fast-moving financial markets. That's Saturdays at 8:30 on News Talk 600, WSOM.
I walk my dog every day.
We walk every morning.
And I've got the best-looking dog in the neighborhood named Stanley. He's a collie mix.
Teddy is a rescue dog.
through the lab. We meet the same people every day. People comment about what a beautiful black coat he has. They'll say, oh, he's so soft and he's so silky.
There's a difference when I compare Teddy to the other dogs.
And these dogs that have the brittle hair, it's coarse. It doesn't lay nice. It's not shiny. It's dull. I tell them about Dinovite.
DINOVITE.com.
859-428-1000.
I've told them this is what I use.
The omega-3 fatty acids.
Flaxseed, zinc, alfalfa.
The digestive enzymes that are cooked out of regular dog food.
And it really made his coat shiny.
You know, it didn't take very long. They've got their nice, expensive jogging suit on, and their dog has their smooth, beautiful, soft, shiny coat. So now their dog looks just as good as they do.
859-428-1000.
859-428-1000.
DINOVITE.com.
4 hours of the best music in the world. Tune in Sundays from 1 till 4 p.m. for the Happy Polka Land Show. Sundays from 1 to 4 p.m. on News Talk 600 WSOM. Welcome to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, the local talk show that stimulates your mind and keeps you thinking about things going on in your world. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps you informed and keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and Friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at TracyandFriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
We're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600, and I've really, really just messed up. Mark, are you enjoying? I think you come here for the music.
Absolutely. You know, I download more music after I leave here. who are we listening to?
This is Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Earth, Wind, and Fire. Okay. And I sit here, while I'm listening to everybody talking, I like to download the music that you play, because it's great music. You and our buddy Ray.
Ray Butler?
Ray does some great music.
He does. Yeah, he does.
And when I see him on Facebook and he says he's listening, I usually click on what he's listening to and download it.
Well, the Earth, Wind, and Fire, it's a classic. I mean, whatever they do is golden.
Yeah.
Hey, South Carolina, how you doing? You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. We've gotten into the conversation of the White House, and it all ties together because I think it's all about standards. And I think the whole country has lost its standards, and because the country has lost its standards, we have what we have in Washington. I screwed up the TV on the press conference. I'm sorry. It is what it is.
That's a good thing, because I don't like to listen to them. They drive me crazy.
They drive you nuts?
Well, you know what? Listen, he opens up his mouth and the lies come out. He's a liar. When you've got Kirsten Powers on Fox News saying he's a liar, when you have Chris Matthews saying what he said last night about him, you know he's in trouble.
Chris Matthews, the sensation left.
The tingle up the leg?
The tingle gone.
That tingle went someplace else.
The tingle dried up. It went back. It did something else. It did. It's like now he's like walking around with dry tinkle.
Dry tinkle.
Damn. He's having a BB King moment. He's having a BB King moment. The thrill is gone away.
Oh, yeah, the tickle is now gone.
I've been smiling all week. I know, it's bad. I love my country, and I want good things for this country. And the stuff that's going on right now is bad stuff, and our country shouldn't have to be going through it. But you know what? The press shoved it down our throats for 5 years, and you still can't get some people to listen.
But that goes back to what Alabama said about the race card. I mean, they're truly trying to insert the race card into this, because if you excite the undereducated voter,
yeah,
and think all this is about race, they'll be able to keep it separate, because they don't. I truly believe they don't want people to think. They don't want people to stand on their own to think and begin to use their noggin.
Now I'm going to tell you something. This guy that's sitting in the White House, he makes Richard Nixon look like a walk in the park. But you know what the sad thing is? If you're under 35, you probably don't know what Richard Nixon did, and that's no joke.
But let me say this. Stick said this yesterday, and I hear everybody talking about Watergate.
Yeah.
I think the difference between President Obama and what's going on now and Watergate is a 24-hour news cycle. I mean,
No, you're wrong. There's a difference, and I'm going to tell you what the difference is. And you know, Mark knows it all, and I've given this some thought.
Okay.
Richard Dixon did what he did in order to perceive. He wanted to protect the country as he perceived it. He did it to protect America. Now, those of us that lived through it understand what was going on. A lot of it was justified. A lot of it wasn't justified. But he saw a threat to the nation that he grew up in and loved, and he tried to protect it. Barack Obama is just the opposite. He's doing this to destroy the country, not to protect it, and to mold it to what his view of the country ought to be. And he doesn't care what he has to do in order to get there. He tramps on the Constitution. I mean, it just never stops. You know, whether it's guns or whether it's free speech or whether it's free press or whether it's religion, it has been one assault on the Constitution like he had a list and he's checking them off, going down a list. That's the difference. It's the motive. I think Richard Nixon's, no matter how bad he was, his motives were probably, I don't want to say noble, but acceptable. Obama's motives, there's something else. Something else.
You gotta understand, though, look at the span of time that Richard Nixon stayed in politics. He was in politics real early, back in the 50s. I mean, he was vice president, what, twice before he became president?
Sure. He was 8 years under Eisenhower.
Yeah.
So really think this is... 506, your mic is on.
Oh, hey, another great show. And
thank you.
Great comments about the issue involving the executive office. You know, the troubling thing, it's almost institutionalized, whether it's Nixon, Johnson, Reagan, Obama. When something bad happens, they immediately go into defense mode and start lying. They cover up. Every one of them does. You know, they all do it for different reasons and so forth. So
Mark, you have to understand the human nature. Let's really look at this. When you're a little kid and you steal the cookie off the counter and your mom comes around the corner and says, "Did you steal the cookie?" You put the cookie behind your back. You've got chocolate chip all over your lips. And you shake your head and go, don't know nothing about the cookie.
As you lick your chops.
That's right.
The principles are the same, and these people are in so much political, financial, and debt otherwise, you know, they have to hold on to that office. And another thing that always bothers me, it seems like the second-term presidents are just, like, concerned about their legacy and all these yes men around them. And now, you know, and I supported Barack Obama, but I see these, things happening, and they're right away going into spin doctor mode. And I think by this time, most Americans, even the ones that don't want to think, I mean, they recognize the pattern. You know, you put your press secretary out and you start talking about, denials on Iran, Contra, or weapons of mass destruction, or Benghazi. It's almost like, and it's sad to say, if we wanted to start over, which I don't think we can, we almost need, like in South America, to have a truth commission where they give all these people immunity, but they have to testify truthfully and for history, set the record straight, and move on from there. Unfortunately, the political fallout would be horrible. But
I just want to say I told you so, because I've been waiting a little while to say that.
Mm-hmm.
Told y'all he wasn't right. But this is my issue. We don't need any more regulation, oversight, commissions, and people. All we need to do is stand up and take responsibility and make them accountable. You know, I have to agree with Rand Paul. Rand, I think that there should be a complete audit of the agencies, of every alphabet agency in the government. We need to weed out. There needs to be set in the parameters of work. And this is the protocol of how a person becomes and gets an IRS, you know, audit. This is how a person becomes this. This is what happens here. We need to take the tax code and we need to condense it down into a pamphlet. We need to quit playing games with the people when it comes to the economy. and we need to do the right thing when it comes to foreign policy.
Those
are all great – Mark said a lot of great things, too. But let me just end with this. Those are all great suggestions, but I just – is there something inherent in mankind that we're constitutionally incapable of doing the right thing?
No, we don't.
No.
I mean, that's responsibility.
Question.
Because this is what this goes back to what I said about the cookie. After a while, you learned that mom was going to find out that you ate the cookie, so you might as well just fess up to the cookie, because if she found out that you lied about the cookie, it was worse than can you confessing to eating the cookie.
Well, some of these executives got to go to jail.
That's what I'm saying. And not so much a jail. I mean, they need to go for a long time, and they need to go to a state prison and not a country club. They need to go somewhere where you don't want to go. We need to make them accountable. What's happening is the standards have fallen in America. And because they have fallen, everybody is mediocre.
I agree. There is no accountability. I mean, we, you know, just like the UN and war crimes and accountability, we control the whole thing. So, you know, we just laugh because we control the very power structures that are supposed to govern our conduct. And until we get past that, I mean, we're going to be hated as we are, and we're not going to have accountability, and it'll go on and on and on and on. And no one's going to put George Bush or Dick Cheney in jail, or maybe Barack Obama and Nixon didn't go to jail. I mean, there's no accountability, so they just keep doing it until mommy catches them and whacks their hands with a spoon.
The question is mommy going to wake up and whack them, or is she going to lay on the couch and eat bonbons? Go ahead, Mark.
Well, I don't think there's anything inherent in people. I have my own opinions about politicians.
There you go.
People that get involved in politics for a number of reasons. The worst kind are the ones that have an ideological agenda. Those are the ones that are dangerous. Bill Clinton, for example, got into politics because he liked politics. He didn't have an ideological agenda. He liked politics for politics' sake. He was pragmatic and understood that the nature of politics is to do for other people. That's the nature of politics. You have to keep people happy. And his job was to keep people happy. And in spite of his indiscretions, you know, he moved to the center when the public said move to the center. He adapted. This guy doesn't. This guy is pure ideology. This guy was trained and raised in an atmosphere where leftism and extreme socialism was the norm. It's not quite communism, but it's close if he could do it. He studied the Constitution and became a constitutional professor, not to protect the Constitution, but to figure out how to get around it, how to go over it, and how to go under it, to get what he wanted. He perceives America as inherently bad. And when you have somebody like that, you're going to see this. I've never seen anybody brought in front of Congress like Eric Holder was yesterday, and he told that congressman off. They should have thrown his butt out of there.
He did.
They should have thrown his butt out of there, and there was no excuse for that kind of behavior. This attorney general is one of the worst attorney generals we've ever had. I include Mitchell under Nixon.
I agree with that. Now, let me say this. Here we go back to standards and restraints. I cannot do what he did. See, again, there used to be a level of respect that no matter how much I wanted to cuss you out, I would learn to fight another day. Young men go to prison every day because they cannot restrain themselves when they get pulled over by the police, even if they're right.
The vision of that is probably going to be second in my mind. And, you know, when I've been in politics, I've been working in politics for a long, long time. There's very few things that stand out in my mind is moments that I'm going to remember. The one I'm going to remember is Hillary Clinton sitting there and asking the congressional committee what possible difference could it make now. My God, what kind of a person is that?
I got a question for you, Mark. And the number is 347-945-5229. I got a question for you.
Yes, ma'am.
Do you have a problem with what he said because he was a black man saying that to a white congressman, or do you have a problem with Hillary Clinton because she's a white woman saying it to a white congressman?
I got a problem with her.
Why are you laughing? Why are you laughing?
Because Tracy, you just went into liberal mode.
What?
That was a liberal question. Big time.
I'm sorry, hold on.
That's what the liberals would have done. And that's what they do.
And I have to ask that question because I know who he is. But because you have to understand, are you saying that you, because don't you think that the congressman disrespected Eric Holder in that question that he asked?
I don't.
And don't you think that if it had not been, if he was a white man and he actually responded the same way that Eric Holder did, would you feel the same way?
Yes, you don't do that. You're in a setting over here. You know what? And what it showed, when the anger comes out, like it came out with Eric Holder, and the anger and frustration comes out, like it came out with Hillary Clinton, it goes to the, we hit a nerve. And that's how it came out. People got to get gender and race out of the picture here. I don't care if a person's got three bosoms with pink polka dots all over green skin. That makes no difference to me.
Hey, South Carolina, I asked a question.
Yes. Didn't I?
I got it out, didn't I?
Yep.
I had to ask you. Whose phone is ringing?
Hello?
412, your mic is on.
Must be my wife telling me to shut up.
Hello?
Hey. Hey, Tracy.
Hey.
Interesting conversation you have today. Still on the Benghazi stuff, huh?
Well, no, I'm past Benghazi. We're just talking about standards and because if you look at standards, it all plays into it. There is no way that you're supposed to go inside of a Senate hearing and just no matter if you are the testifying, and no matter how mad they make you, you're not supposed to go off on the person who's asking the question just because you felt like it. And
that's his job description, to go in there and answer questions. He's a counter.
Everyone faces
Congress.
Challenges.
Yeah.
Do you have that audio?
Which one? Eric Holder?
Of Holder, yeah.
Yeah, I do. Hold on, I'll pull it up.
You got that. That's neat. I'll tell you what, this is high-tech Evan over here. I see all these buttons and everything. I'm afraid to move.
I'm just saying, we need to do some things differently. And we are not, it's just not good. Standards. We're not allowing it to happen.
Well, I'm seeing a bunker mentality over in Washington right now, and that tells me they're I don't know. I've had the feeling for the first time in a long time, in fact, the first time ever, that there's a group of people sitting in Washington who have usurped the government and are building a wall around them to protect themselves. What do we do with that? I don't remember this in my lifetime. You know, Nixon, that was different. The issue wasn't his ideology. The issue was, you know, they broke into the Watergate and stole some stuff, and he lied about it. Bill Clinton lied, but this is different.
What's the difference?
This was deliberately done to inflict pain on the country.
Oh, no.
See, oh, come
go.
On
local
now.
Call your... Hold on, Alex. Local call, your mic is on.
Tracy, is that me?
Yeah. Go ahead,
Tracy,
Paul.
Tracy.
Yeah.
I wish you'd have used that Sharon Line girl and said and made that last statement. Because you said it like it should have been said, but you dressed it up too well.
What line
nobody,
was that?
Nobody on earth has been disrespected more than Barack Obama in the White House. I didn't catch this Holder thing yesterday, but society has gotten to the place now, I can say what I want to say, and ain't nothing you can do about it. That's where we're at right now.
That's what the culture is right now. You can say whatever you want, whoever you want, and it doesn't make any difference. It makes a difference.
I mean, we don't respect anything anymore. Why would you think we would respect them? I mean, the big shots in society? Now, you know when they get together drunk, they do it, but now they're doing it now without drinking. Bye.
I was not drinking.
Bye.
Well, hey, Tracy, could I say something?
Yeah, please.
About Mark's comments. Mark, I see what you're saying about the bunker mentality, but I just to refresh your memory that you haven't seen anything like that in your lifetime. Certainly you'd have to acknowledge the Iran-Contra bunker mentality, the Bush White House with the pre-war intelligence bunker mentality, Nixon using the IRS to go after Vietnam and the whole thing with Hoover and the COINTELPRO, Johnson on Vietnam. We've seen the bunker mentality over and over. It's getting worse and more acceptable. And about your comments about Obama, you're almost equating him to the Manchurian candidate, that he was, as a boy, had this burning passion to change America, and then he was picked up and used by certain people. I think that's interesting. I think it's not unusual. And I'm interested to see how this would play out and how history is going to treat your thesis. I have stopped the partisan blind following of parties. After the last election, just looking at things, and I've been doing an awful lot of reading about some subjects. So I think we've seen this bunker mentality. I think it's getting more intense because he's being hit with two, three things at a time. There's a midterm election coming up, but you make some interesting points that have been raised. And again, I'd use this Manchurian candidate thing. You know, is he really somebody who was placed there? Like, say, maybe Bush was placed there by the people that wanted to make the military into a corporate raiding of the treasury and going over to Iraq, but. You know, I'm interested to see how history will look back and if we can get that information. See, that's the problem. They classify everything for so many years. So the bunker mentality, I don't think it's new, but it's intense now.
I think, and I'll agree with you a little bit on the Nixon thing. I was in my 20s when Watergate was going on. I think the difference for me is I was a Nixon supporter back then, and when he resigned, I cried. I thought one of the saddest things I've ever seen. In retrospect, you know, you look at what he did and you went, oh, okay, that wasn't so good. He probably got what he had coming to him. But the thing about Obama that bothers me is that nobody knows all that much about him. When all the other presidents, we came to know their families, we came to know their brothers and sisters, we came to know their children, we came to know their likes and their dislikes, we came to know their hobbies. There was a human face put onto them, except for Obama, and to a degree Richard Nixon. And I've been saying for two or three years, Obama resembles Nixon more than he does Jimmy Carter. I don't know who this guy is. Tell me about this guy.
I mean, you know, I saw a PBS thing. Not to interrupt you, but I'm off the partisan thing, man, because I have a problem with the whole institution of both sides. But you say we really don't know a lot about him. I watched a PBS documentary that was supposed to be like the ultimate expose about who he was and where he came from, and it basically was a sketchy thing that he kind of ended up, over. In the Far East with his mom, and then he came back here and went to school in Hawaii, and then was on the West Coast and kind of drifted to New York, and then got involved back in Chicago after Harvard. I mean, I don't even know how he got in Harvard. You know, we know sketchy details about his being a student there. We don't know much about him. I mean, you're right. I mean, we really don't know a lot about this guy. I have to agree.
Let me say this. Now, let's look at what you said, today's press. Now, let's really understand this. We don't know anything because no one would tell us anything, and the press did not do their job about it going all the way back to 2008. I knew more about President Obama and told it than the people who actually had the resources to do. Do we not understand that they were disingenuous and now they're upset? The AP is upset with the President of the United States because of a backdoor subpoena based on national security that they went inside of Associated Press.
They weren't concerned about Benghazi. And I'll tell you what, if it weren't for what's going on with the AP, they wouldn't be concerned about the IRS.
Correct.
Because it was their ox that got gored, and now all of a sudden they're paying attention. Ginger, my wife said to me two or three years ago, she said, when are things going to change? I said, when he does something to the press, and he will do something to the press. And that's
so,
what he did.
So, that's what I'm saying. So remember, reason why you don't know anything about the candidate,
yeah.
it's because no one wanted you to know, because that which we knew, we all held close because for some reason we needed this person to be in the White House. Now he has now turned on them.
He didn't turn on them. He never was for them in the first place, and they're just learning it now because he's governed by ideology. He doesn't want to be friends with the press.
He does.
He wants his ideology. He doesn't have to now.
But see, I think let me say this. I don't think the AP thing went out with his knowledge, because only an idiot who has a press-friendly life goes after the press and kills the Second Amendment completely. Not only an idiot. He's not an idiot. That would be an idiot for me to come in here and shoot the people.
If he didn't know that it happened, yes, he is an idiot.
But no. That shows his governing style. Remember, I think there's a lot that goes on in the White House. You can't play that much golf. You can't do that much stuff. You can't fly all over the country and throw that many parties and still be an active participant inside of the political system.
Then who's
and
calling,
governing.
Who's calling the shots?
That's the question. Now, there's Jarrett, there's Holder, there is Plus, and there's Axelrod.
That's an interesting group.
Yeah, that's the inner circle. Let me just say something else, Tracy. That what Mark said, you know, Democrat, Republican, whatever. I just think Eric Holder, I mean, Mike, I haven't seen anything worse than him in that office. I can't remember, like Mark said, since Mitchell. This guy, you know, he's no idiot, but my God, I could just name about 10 things he's mishandled. No matter which way you approach the analysis,
it's
all ideologically pure.
Correct, but the question: who's ideologically pure? Who's running what? I mean, you really have to understand: if you don't show up at work every day, and if you're not having briefings every day, and you're not meeting with anyone, and you're just there, and you're just taking pictures, and you are doing press conferences, and you're reading speeches, that doesn't mean that you're governing. And I don't think he's as a hands-on administrator as people say that he is. There's too much going on.
That's what I'm saying.
So anytime you stand up before the press and say I learned the same thing about the IRS from the news like you did. You mean to tell me nobody called you?
He's either telling the truth and he's stupid, or he's a liar, and that's
yeah.
He
got away with it. It was like a backhanded compliment to the press, so he got away.
I mean, come on now. If I stand up to you and say,
I said
this the other day on the air. Seriously, do you really understand when I get up there and say, I am the president, I'm the most powerful person in the world, and I watch CNN and I found out about the IRS and who I'm in charge of on the news too?
Now, you know what's going to happen now? And I feel kind of bad for him in a way. They gave him a 6-year pass on vetting him. And now, I'm not sure the core reporters will do it, but the fringe reporters will. They're going to start digging, and they're going to find out stuff, and it's going to be leaked.
They're not going to do it.
Not the main ones. I'm talking about the
We've been doing
the
it all along.
The fringe ones are going to be looking.
We're looking all along. We already have the information. The question is, how do we have it distributed? The information is there. And I'm going to take my break in just a moment, but I want to go to his birth certificate. And I am not a birther. I am not a birther. I am not a birther.
Great show. Okay.
Hey, thanks, Mark. The number is 347-945-5229. I am not a birther. So I've said this before in public, and I will say it again. His birth certificate is irrelevant. If you want to do something about his birth, you should have done it before he got to the White House. But let's talk about when he actually showed it. Anyone who was born in 1965 and before, if you go pull your birth certificate out in the United States of America, please tell me what it says on your birth certificate, because on mine it says Negro.
Mine says Negro. My birth certificate came from Cleveland Metropolitan Hospital, Cleveland, Ohio. It says Negro.
Mine says Negro. If I go across this country and across this state, more people will tell you that their birth certificate will say Negro than anything else. If you go further back than that, you'll get colored.
What's his say?
Yep.
His says black. I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. And he was born 4 years before me. We'll see you on the other side of my break.
I'm so excited. Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce.
to fool a couple of. Charlie Staples barbecue sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a couple of. If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
Do you depend on your computer? Then you know that a virus on your computer is bad news. But there is something you can do. Just call this number, 330-759-9700. That's 330-759-9700. That's the number for Ambassador Technologies in Liberty Township. Ambassador Technologies specializes in virus removal and restores your computer to full performance. We also specialize in computer repair, from desktops, laptops, laptop screens, laptop power supplies, laptop batteries, and hardware updates. And when your business needs networking, Ambassador Technologies is the place to go. Ambassador Technologies, Youngstown's best for computer repair, networking, website development, and even low-cost business cards and publishing. Call Ambassador Technologies at 330-759-9700. Online at ambasstech.com. That's ambasstech.com. Boardman Frame House Gallery, a professional frame shop and art gallery at the Mart Shopping Center in Poland at Routes 224 and 680. We specialize in original, limited, and antique lithographs of both renowned nationally published artists and local artists. We have over 30 years of award-winning custom design and archival framing. We give your artwork a unique presentation that enhances its value for life. Let your home or office express something individual and unique with a fine art limited edition print signed by the artist and numbered. You'll find many unique and affordable fine art editions. Visit us in the Mark Shopping Center. Find the Greenwich Workshop Catalog. And for any print or canvas you order, you get 50% off the frame for that fine art edition. Find us on Facebook or call us at 330-758-5795. That's 330-758-5795.
This is the Sean Hannity Show.
You know, when liberals use the Bible and Christianity to advance their progressive ends, well, the mainstream media agrees with them. For them, it's just, oh, yeah, I agree with that. When a conservative uses the Bible and Christianity to advance a conservative point, they hyperventilate the media. They're warning of a coming theocracy in America.
This is the Valley's home for Sean Hannity. This is News Talk 600.
I'm Mark Lavoie, WSOM News. The Youngstown City Council approved a plan to seek proposals for the future of the city's parks. Youngstown has 45 parks that are designed to serve about 150,000 people. That's more than twice the city's current population. The council wants ideas for an affordable park system that provides the needed services. A convicted felon from Cincinnati is charged with raping a woman in Warren in April. 23-year-old Kevin Johns, who has spent about 3 years in prison, did not enter a plea in a hearing yesterday. Prosecutors say Johns raped a 20-year-old woman and kidnapped her and another woman. Police have arrested an Austintown man in connection with an explosion at a house that was caused by cutting through a gas pipe. 27-year-old Sean Villers is accused of breaking into the vacant home to steal copper. He's also accused of robbing two gas stations in February. You're up to date. I'm Mark Lavoie, WSOM News.
And now, Crestview Auto Body presents The Secret Conversations of Deer.
So, back from car baiting again, Mr. Daredevil?
Yep, but that's not why I do it, though.
This ought to be good. Why do you jump in front of cars?
The signs.
What signs?
Those insulting signs.
What's wrong now?
Those deer crossing signs are an insult to all self-respecting deer. I don't look like that. You don't look like that. And what's with this leaping pose? We're not always leaping.
So that's why you're jumping in front of cars?
I'm not just jumping in front of cars. I'm taking a stand against the man. Oh, here comes another one. Join me in the fight!
Crestview Auto Body doesn't really know why that deer jumped in front of your car, but we do know how to fix it after, with the area's most expert collision repair. Crestview Auto Body, like it never happened, with locations in New Waterford, Salem, and Calcutta.
The Valley's Medical Guide is coming to a Walgreens near you. This medical guide is packed with useful health tips and a local physician's listing. Enter to win a $500 American Express card. Pick up your free copy at a local participating Walgreens pharmacy. stop by a Walgreens near you in Mahoning, Trumbull, Lawrence, and Mercer counties. Plus, a chance to win a $500 American Express card. Now at Walgreens, accepting most Express Scripts plans.
At Early & Sons Relocation, we know about the heart and soul of a home. Early & Sons Relocation specializes in coordinating life's changes. For your basic needs, rely on Early & Sons Relocation for downsizing, organizing, relocation services, lawn care, handyman services, or age-in-place plans for your current home. Call Early & Sons Relocation for your free consultation to make your transition as stress-free as possible. Early & Sons Relocation Moving Coordinators, 330-501-7004 or earleyandsons.com. Broadcasting from the Ford Studios, Ford offers 7 with an EPA estimated rating of 40 miles per gallon highway or better. Get 0% financing for 60 months on best-selling models.
1-800-530-WSOM or 347-945-5229. Call in now to talk to Tracy and friends on Newstalk 600 WSOM.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. I hope you're having a good day today. It is 1:42 here on a Thursday afternoon. And South Carolina, I'm trying to find the clip of Eric Holder, and for some reason I can't seem to pull it up. Do you have it? Can you forward it to me real quick?
Let's see.
All I have is a 9-minute one, and I don't have the other ones, and I can't seem to find it, like, and it just will not. I tried to listen during the break and talk to Mark at the same time and fix the TV at the same time, and I'm all screwed up. Welcome to my world. So, hey, the number is 347-945-5229, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. Standards. I'm telling you guys, it's all about the standards. It's all about having limitations. It's all about making people accountable. If you hold people to a certain standard, if you walk with a certain respect, you don't have to have these conversations about the IRS, the AP, and the PDQ. Local call, your mic is on. Okay, they hung up. They'll be back. Hey, the number is 347-945-5229. The local number is 330-781-9600. I got to be good. My PD's in the room with me, and I'm scared now. I don't know what to say.
I'm watching him. He's pushing all these buttons. I'm waiting for the building to blow up here.
But my boss is in the room right now. You guys didn't know I had a boss. But my boss is in the room right now, and I'm scared of him. And so now I don't know what to say. What do I talk about?
do what you always do.
No. It's a standard. There's a standard. Thanks.
I think I figured it out.
You figured it out?
Kind of.
Okay. There's a standard, and the standard.
He's got showing Wolf Blitzer. I'm getting scared when I see Wolf Blitzer. He's a scary dude.
Will we ever hold the people who we elect to office accountable? Whether it be the mayor, whether it be the chief of police, whether it be the sheriff, whether it be the school board. I mean, the reason why schools are the way they are is because parents will not hold the school board's accountable. And you're trying to hold Congress accountable, but you can't even get them to return a phone call anymore.
Well, I don't know what you mean by accountable. If you're talking about accountable to put these folks into jail, let's start at the top. I think it would be bad for the country if any president of the United States was put into jail.
Can you imagine what would happen if they put President Obama in jail?
Well, it cost Gerald Ford his job as president because he pardoned Nixon.
Hear me what I'm saying. And Ford might have got pardoned. But Obama going to jail is a whole other Photoshop.
Not good for the country, as I said.
I want you guys to take this visual with me. Do you understand that you can't put that man in prison? You can't send him. That would be bad.
I'm not sure whether or not he's broken any laws.
Huh?
Oh, I'm not sure he's broken any laws.
Huh?
Nixon
broke the law.
Broke the law. Let's start with that. Okay. Let's talk about Benghazi.
Okay.
I think Benghazi shows incompetence. I think it shows negligence.
But
I don't see any laws broken.
Okay.
You know, he's commander in chief. He's the boss of those people, and that's his discretion to do what he did, and he should be voted out of office.
You can't vote him out.
Well, you know, it's
his people.
Can
you impeach him?
You know what? It's misfeasance and malfeasance. I don't know about negligence. I mean, I don't think, you know, The IRS, it depends on what he knew and when he knew it. And the AP, that's...
That wasn't illegal.
I'm not sure it's illegal.
It's against the Constitution, but that would have to go to court.
That has to go to court. That's right. That's not a crime. So I don't know what the... for him, I just don't see any jailed in his future. Eric Holder, on the other hand.
What, Eric Holder? He recused himself. I don't know. What? Your lawyer?
Yeah.
Recused.
That means that it means you have a personal involvement and can't be independent.
Let me ask you this.
Yes, ma'am.
What personal involvement did he have? I mean, we have people that are married to people in the White House.
Right. Well, you saw that thing. Did you see the thing that was going on over the weekend about...
Yeah, I put it on my Facebook page.
Yeah, that's where I thought it. I copied it. You know, and again, I don't think there's anything illegal, but the American public needs to wake up and take a look at what's going on. They don't care. Nobody cares.
So my question to you is...
You know when they're going to care? They're going to care when they don't have enough money to go buy their cell phones. That's what will make the American public care. Outside of that, they could give a... They just don't care.
Mark. No.
They don't care.
No. No, let me see. No, wait a minute. Hold on.
I care. You care.
No, I got to go back to recuse.
Yeah.
Why did he recuse himself?
Technically, because it could not be a fair and impartial individual when investigating whatever they're going to investigate. So he's stepping aside to let somebody else do it. Chances are the person that's doing it can't be fair and impartial either, but it looks good.
I would, it'd be kind of hard. I mean, why would you recuse yourself when you don't have a personal tie?
Well, no, that's exactly the point. There's something personal involved. We just don't know what. It could be that, you know, he was... It could be an issue that goes with some everything from legal jeopardy to he's just, you know, too involved with it and can't be impartial. He knows too many people that are involved. And he wants somebody independent to go in and look at it.
Can I, you know, so can I just recuse myself out of convenience?
Sure you can. He's the Attorney General.
Oh, so if I don't want my hands to get dirty, even though they're going to be a little dusty, I can recuse myself. So I can say I don't know.
That's exactly
right. And not lie,
right.
And then so I am close enough to it to know how to control it, but far enough away from it that I'm not responsible for it.
I think that sums it up.
I just want to make sure I got this.
It sums it up.
I just want to make sure I got this, you know, recuse thing.
Because the Attorney General, for all intents and purposes, is answerable to no one.
Huh?
He's answerable to only to the president. That's it. And until the president tells him to go, this guy's going to stay.
Are you serious?
Yep. Congress can call him in. He can answer questions or not. They can hold him in contempt. Do any good. Listen, they got the TV working. This is exciting.
Hey, it doesn't take much. That's why I called J-Dub. He comes and helps me out. Thank you.
Wow. And the Dow's up 12 points.
Oh, just making sure. South Carolina, Alex, your mic's around. The number is 347-945-5229.
Hey, Tracy, I got a question for you.
Sure.
Well, before you went to break, you started talking about Obama's birth certificate, and your boss, man, you changed the subject real quick. Is that what really happened? That's what happened over break. He told you can't talk about that.
Don't talk about the birth certificate. Don't talk about. I just threw that out there. Seriously, I'm not a birther, but I just want, you know, when I think about it, I don't quite get how he became black in 1960. And I was in 1964, and I'm still a Negro. I don't understand.
Well, that was Hawaii. Maybe they did things different in Hawaii.
They might have done things differently, but I don't understand the Negro thing and the black thing because how did he?
No.
Because black was not a term of you know, calling somebody black at one time would be like calling them a bad word.
What year was he born?
1960.
Oh.
That's what I'm saying.
No.
Can I give you my theory?
Hold on, Alex. What'd you say? Am I wrong, South Carolina? He was born in 61.
I think he was born like in 61 or 62.
Oh, okay. I'll check and see. I don't think he's. I think he's in 60. 60? He might be 61.
Okay.
But I know he's not 62 because he's older than me.
Well, you're right. That would be your Caucasian, your Negro.
Right.
Down south, you're probably still colored in the southern states. I don't know Hawaii. How they, you know, they had a different racial mixture in Hawaii with the native Hawaiians. I don't know.
Alex, what were you going to say?
Yeah. Well, they've already shown they've already shown birth certificates from the time period, and they said Negro on them. They didn't say black. But you know what I think it really is. I think Obama was, you know, he was born in Hawaii. You know, I don't think he was born in Kenya or anything. But I think that there's something on his real birth certificate that he just didn't want people to see. You know, there's a guy that made a documentary, and it showed that Obama looks just like, what is his name, Frank Marshall Davis?
Frank Marshall, yeah.
Yeah?
And basically, some people think that that's his real father, and so that's what's really on his birth certificate. It shows that he has a different father than what he purported, because he was essentially living a lie. You know, he got scholarships and admittance into college off the premise of being a foreign exchange student. You know, he was Kenyan, and so, you know, I think that's what it really is that he is an American citizen, but he doesn't want people to see the real document because it would show the lie that he had lived for, you know, for several years. I think that's really what's going on.
And he's still living the lie.
Yeah.
It's very weird. We know very little about this guy. They did the documentary around the election, which was really interesting. But even I'm talking about, for example, his mother-in-law has lived in the White House for 5 years now, 4.5 years. Anybody ever seen her?
Who?
His mother-in-law.
Yeah, there's a picture out of her.
Where is she?
She's there. She's there. She just stays out the camera shot.
Where are the kids?
They're there.
Where are they?
They're in the White House somewhere.
Where?
On the West Wing. In the East Wing.
I don't even know their names.
Oh, that's Sasha and Malia.
Well, you know.
Robinson. I mean, and there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, if I had children and I was in the White House, I would keep my kids, you know, I'd bring them out periodically. I wouldn't pimp them the way they do for the camera shots, but I would bring them out periodically, but I would not put them in camera's view because I'd like to keep,
one presidential child that's turned out bad. I'm going to start with Julie Eisenhower. Then you go up to John and Carolyn Kennedy. Of course, John's died, but they both turned out okay. You know, Lucy Baines and Linda Byrd turned out okay.
How did Carter's daughter turn out?
Pardon me?
How did
Amy? She turned out fine. I mean, where has the suffering because these kids were in the public? There's nothing. They've all done very, very well. And they behave and have a style that shows the upbringing that they had. These two they've treated like sacred cows. I've never seen anything like it. Show them.
No, they don't need to be out there. I disagree on things, some things, but I agree on keep them. They need to be out of the limelight. They need to be away. We will use them as targets.
No, they're cute.
So are puppies and everything. No.
Hey,
local call, your mic is on.
I remember the beating that Amy Carter took.
Oh, yeah. I think that, I mean, there's a history there. I mean, you got to understand, we called Chelsea Clinton ugly for a long time.
Yeah.
You know, I'd leave my kids out of that. They have enough issues just being growing up. Local call, go ahead.
Tracy, I'm looking at my mother's birth certificate. She was born in 1923, and they have on here black.
Do they really?
Yeah.
She's doing good.
Color or race, black. I just wanted to let you know.
Thank you, because that's why I said, because when I talk to everyone else, it says, my mom says colored. I talked to another friend of mine, and we were born in the 50s, and there says Negro.
Mm-hmm.
And mine says
hey,
Negro.
Tracy.
Wow.
Hey, Tracy.
I don't know.
Okay, you may. Hey, I just say I appreciate you calling in. I appreciate that.
Okay.
And so I will take my thesis back down off the wall.
Can I ask your caller a question real quick?
All right. Hold on, caller, don't go. Go ahead, Alex.
Hi, I'm just curious. Is that an original birth certificate, or is it a certificate of live birth?
Caller, did you hear him?
No. What did he say?
He said, "Is that a birth certificate or a certificate of live birth?"
Certificate of birth.
Is it like the original, or is it something that she went to Vital Statistics and they reprinted it?
They want to know is it the original birth certificate, or is it a copy of the original that they went to Vital Statistics
it says
to get?
It's an exact copy of the record, which is on file in the Department of Health in Youngstown. I witnessed my hand and seal.
Okay, so she was born in Youngstown, too.
Yep.
But how I get Negro?
I don't know.
Hold on.
24/7 roadside.
Alex, I went to Clara. How I become a Negro and your mom was born in 23 and she could be black? I don't understand.
I don't know. I'm looking at it now. It says place of birth, Mahoning County. Let me look at this further here. I'm looking at it more just to make sure. They were living on Metal Street on the east side.
Man, I tell your mom I'm impressed. Okay, and it proves my theory wrong, but everyone, I don't understand. So thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Okay.
Because like I said, I'm not a birther. I just want to know. But it may be like you might have something there. And listen, I got to take my break. You're listening to Tracy and Friends. Thank you for calling in. The number is 347-945-5229. South Carolina and Alex, hold on, Mark. I'll be right back. And sorry about that.
And Whitestone Youth Outreach. This Saturday, May 18th, starting at 10:30 a.m. at the Columbiana County Fairgrounds Arts and Crafts Building. Proceeds benefit Olive Branch Ministries and Whitestone Youth Outreach to help in their important work in our community. Bid on hundreds of brand new items donated by businesses all over the area. You can bid on merchandise like an 8x12 Quaker-style storage barn, a Skaggs Super Z zero-turn mower, riding mowers, a $500 tire shop gift certificate, home generators, chainsaws, and more. Everything from outdoor and recreation equipment to tools and trips. The benefit auction for Olive Branch Ministries and Whitestone Youth Outreach this Saturday at the Columbiana County Fairgrounds. See the full listing at auctionzip.com. That's auctionzip.com.
Everyone faces challenges in their lives. Handling it on our own sometimes is too overwhelming, but Turning Point Counseling can help. Turning Point offers the highest quality, individualized, confidential behavioral health care. Our professional and caring staff can help you or your loved one get started on the road to recovery today. Turning Point Counseling.
WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren. The home for afternoons with Tracy and friends. News Talk 600 WSOM.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Aldinger. A deadly tornado that plowed through a Texas town last night might have done even more damage. ABC's Jim Ryan is in Granbury.
After surveying the damage of the storm, three-quarter-ton pickup trucks thrown for several blocks, trees stripped clean of their bark, houses wiped right off their concrete slabs. Experts with the National Weather Service have declared this an EF4 tornado, the second highest ranking with winds of up to 200 miles per hour. While they might have had plenty of warning, the six people who were killed in this tornado might simply have had no place to run. Jim Ryan, ABC News, Granbury, Texas.
President Obama peppered with questions on a variety of issues today at a White House news conference.
Turning the Benghazi incident around, President Obama demanded Congress fully fund security at all diplomatic outposts. And he justified the seizure of reporters' phone records in a national security leak case.
I make no apologies, and I don't think the American people would expect me as Commander-in-Chief, not to be concerned about information that might compromise their missions or might get them killed.
The president also told the news conference he will soon put new leadership in place at the IRS.
ABC's Ann Compton at the White House. Women senators from both sides of the political aisle announcing new legislation to deal with the issue of sexual assault in the military.
Today we're standing in united front to take on these issues with new legislation that will fundamentally remove the decision-making from the chain of command and give that discretion to an experienced military prosecutor.
New York Senator Kristen Gillibrand. The CDC says more than half of the pools it tested were positive for E. coli, the bacteria found in feces.
CDC recommends that parents take their young children on bathroom breaks every 60 minutes or check the young children's diapers every 30 to 60 minutes.
Michelle Vlasser with the CDC swimming program. This is ABC News.
Guys, discomfort and chafing from wetness-related friction can hit any time. Get relief and prevent it too with Gold Bond Medicated Foot Powder for your feet and Body Powder for your, you know. Whether you're working out or just holding down the couch, you're a guy. And unlike baby powders, Gold Bond's got the medicated formulas to fight itch, odor, and wetness. Plus, it's got that cooling kick that lets you know it's working wherever. Keep it cool with Gold Bond Medicated Foot and Body Powders. It's a guy thing. Use as directed.
Hey, what's happening? I'm Right Brand Bacon, the bigger, better bacon. When you bite into Right Brand Bacon, it's like DJ Bacon dropping a beat in a Pac Bacon disco in your mouth. I'm so meaty and delicious, I'm like meat candy. When you fry me up, I smell so good, it draws a crowd like free money. I'm so tender.
Right Brand Bacon, bigger, better bacon. Find out more at biggerbetterbacon.com.
Authorities in New York may have snuffed out a terrorist ring. ABC's Aaron Kutursky explains.
More than a dozen people have been arrested for selling $55 million worth of tax-free cigarettes smuggled up Interstate 95. Two brothers from Maryland allegedly ran the Virginia to New York operation that moved 20,000 cartons per week from southern states where cigarettes are cheaper. Law enforcement officials worry some of the money may be funneled to terrorism. One of the defendants, Yusuf Odeh, is a known supporter of Sheikh Omar Abdul Rahman, who's serving a life sentence in a 1993 terror plot. Aaron Katursky, ABC News, New York.
People who live in Colorado are expected to consume 2.2 million ounces of marijuana next year. That's not counting the people who will be visiting the state. And that's a lot of money that could be going right up in smoke. Well, a Colorado State University study crunched the numbers and said the state might collect $130 million a year by taxing pot, which the state legalized last fall. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Bosch Appliances are ranked highest in customer satisfaction with dishwashers by J.D. Power and Associates. You can find great deals on ultra-quiet Bosch dishwashers by visiting your local Bosch dealer for special promotions. J.D. Power and Associates 2012 Kitchen Appliance Satisfaction Study.
Broadcasting from the Ford Studios, feel the power behind the available EcoBoost engine in the 2013 Ford Escape. Now you can lease a new fuel-efficient Escape for just $199 a month. Visit drive1ohio.com.
Shaquille O'Neal for new Icy Hot Advanced Cream.
I know all about living with pain. After 19 years of pro ball, man. But now I'm feeling awesome. New Icy Hot Advanced Relief is the real deal.
Icy Hot Advanced Cream has two maximum strength ingredients to last up to 50% longer. Works great on shoulders, backs, knees, even arthritis. Icy to dull the pain and hot to relax it away.
Come on now. Advance past pain and get on with living.
New Icy Hot Advanced. Available in cream and patch.
Pain over.
Use only as directed.
Welcome to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, the local talk show that stimulates your mind and keeps you thinking about things going on in your world. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps you informed and keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and Friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll-free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at TracyandFriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Well, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. I'm going to take a call off the local call coming in, and then I'm going to switch gears a little bit. I've got a friend inside of here, and we started out talking about young people, and I think that's the best way to start and to end, and to show you that there are people out there, young people out there that are not tatted, not hold, and have a great ethic
and a standard about their life. And he's going to talk a little bit about that, tell you his story, and then talk about an event that's going to be coming up in June for young people, and they want you to come out to Calvary Ministries over in Oak Hill. Let me pick up this call real quick. Local call. Okay. They hung up. South Carolina, Alex, you guys have got anything before I switch over?
No.
All righty.
You know how it is. Well, go with the flow.
Roll with it. We have Elder. Hold on. Local call, go ahead.
Yeah, this is Steve.
Yes, Steve.
Yeah, Mr. Tracy, my birth certificate says that, talks about my mother and father, and it called, it said Negro on there. It said I was born October 30th, 1951, and my birth certificate said Negro, called my parents Negro.
Wow.
Call my mom a Negro, call my father.
Yeah.
My dad was born October 2nd, 1923.
Yeah.
My mom, 1932. So my mom, she's 80. So it said Negro on her birth certificate.
Well, thanks for calling and letting me know that. Well, we'll do some more investigating on that. I just made an observation.
I can remember also when you were on colors.
I can too.
And I can remember that it was some people not like being called black. That was not a popular thing.
That's what I'm saying. So listen, I gotta switch over. I got a guest in the studio, Steve. Thanks a lot for calling. I appreciate you, and thanks for calling in. Tomorrow's open mic, and we'll do this again. I want everybody to look at their birth certificates and call in and tell me what they say tomorrow. Because as I said, you know, I want to know how we can go. I got issues, because you know, mine say Negro. I'm put on the back of my license plate. Just saying. Listen,
I'm gonna put fat white guy on the back of mine, but it won't fit.
No, you can't do that. Because you're not always going to be heavy set.
Jeff in there?
No, Jeff is there tomorrow. Jeff's in the chat room. You got to get a computer and get on the chat room. I got to get to Elder Tyson. Hey, you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. As I said, I have Elder James Tyson in studio with me. And he is a young man, and you are the youth pastor at Calvary Ministries.
Yes, ma'am.
Pull that mic to you.
Yes, ma'am.
See what I'm saying? You know, I'm trying to get him past the man part, and it's just not working very well. And tell us a little bit about you. Tell us who you are, because Mark has not met you. And so tell us a little bit about this.
Well, my name is James Tyson. I am originally from Indianapolis, Indiana. I am the youth director over at Calvary Ministries International, where my pastor is my father, Bishop Seashawn Tyson. I am 21 years old. I am a student at Youngstown State University. I'm a finance major, and I'm doing everything that I possibly can to be able to reach as many as I possibly can.
I gotta ask you about something.
Okay.
Before we get let me say this so we can do this a couple times.
Yeah.
We got an event coming up at Mount Calvary.
Yes, ma'am.
What is it?
Back at One. Back at One Youth Conference. Yes, ma'am.
And it's going to be what date?
June 7th through the 9th.
And is it free?
Well, you have to register. You have to register to be able to be a part. You can go to www.calvary4u, the number four, the letter u.org.
Calvary 4, the letter 4, the digit 4,
yes,
and
ma'am.
U.
And the number U, the letter U. Yes, ma'am,
so
dot .org.
Calvary, the digit 4, and the letter U.
Yes, ma'am.
.com or .org?
.org.
.org.
Yes, ma'am.
So calvary4u.org.
Calvary4u.org. Yes, ma'am. And it shares with you all the conference information and the registration information that's there as well.
And I can call?
Yes, ma'am. At 330-747-4445.
747-4445.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, I'm telling. I'm not done yet. We got 50 minutes of picking with Elder Tyson.
Oh God.
He's in the box. See, that's what happens when you come in the box. Now I got a question for you.
Okay.
We were talking about standards.
Yes, ma'am.
And we were talking about young people,
mm-hmm.
millennials. Help me out with this because you are a youth pastor, and you have been raised with a standard, and you have a standard.
Mm-hmm.
How do I, as an adult, deal with a standard?
Well, first thing, I think you have to change your perspective on what a standard is. When it comes to standards, our mindsets are so geared towards what we cannot do, what we cannot say, the cannots of standards. But if you are really to look into standards in its if you want to put it in the official definition,
okay,
rather, it is unlimited possibilities in a certain area. When it comes to standards, standards do not, I want to say, don't hold you back. But rather, standards are able to push you forward because they don't allow you to look backwards at certain things that would cause you to be refrained, held back, confined, things of that nature. So as an adult, when it comes to dealing with standards, you've got to change your mindset. You cannot necessarily be confined within the simple mind of what I cannot do, what I cannot say, things like that. But you have to reprogram yourself to think, okay, this is an avenue to unlimited possibilities, and then you're able to go operate and function in whatever area that you desire.
But now when I say standards,
okay,
I'm looking at a parameter of respect.
Right.
That I have held myself to a certain level.
Mm-hmm.
That I will not allow anything to hold me back,
right,
but I still have respect for everyone else around me.
Absolutely.
And I will not degrade myself.
Yes, ma'am.
Because of the level of standard that I want to reach.
Mm-hmm.
My question is, because young people have not been taught parameters,
mm-hmm,
limits, you will not go home and cuss your dad out.
Absolutely not.
You wouldn't even. And you have been mad enough at him for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
That you might not cuss, but you would like to, like, go into a rage to,
well,
really show your...
When I was a kid, I actually punched my father in his chest.
How'd that work out?
That was my... I promise you that was my death date. I promise. We were playing Live 98. I was 7 years old, and my father called himself, you know, wanted to teach me a lesson. And as he's showboating and talking all this trash, throws the controller down and starts rooting and everything. And I get mad with my little self, ball up my little fist, and I punch him square in the chest. It didn't work out too well.
It didn't work out well.
No.
Since that date.
No. Haven't touched him since.
Why not?
Because I learned that there are certain things that you cannot do and remain, if you want to look in one perspective, remain effective, and then remain in another perspective, remain alive.
So let me ask you this.
Okay.
Young people today,
mm-hmm,
have we given them too many liberties? Or have we not given them enough? Or what are we doing as parents that are causing the rebellion?
Because, mm-hmm,
rebellion is, in my view, is as witchcraft.
Mm-hmm.
What am I doing as a parent where my kids are just psycho?
Examine yourself first. In order to fully understand why are my children like this, well, my question first is, how were you when you were their age? I think in terms of us giving them options, it's the options that we gave them to be able to take as far as being liberal in certain areas. Well, you can do this, or you can't do that. But my question is, okay, then what specific areas have we given them liberty in? So as far as giving them a lot of liberties, my question is, what did you give them? And then how does that affect them, whether it is positive or whether it is negative?
Can we give them too much? Can we do too much? Because, the reason why I'm asking now, because,
mm-hmm,
we're looking at, and I'm not talking about a church world, but the church is just as bad.
We are
not raising and training our children up in the way that they should go.
Right.
So that when they are old,
They won't depart. Uh-huh.
So if that be the case, because right now we have a wild generation that needs to actually be tamed.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't want to break them because you break their spirit. Go ahead, Mark.
No, it's just, this is really interesting. I've never thought about standards and parameters in terms of self, as opposed, like you said, with the cans and the can'ts. And it's always been, you don't do this, you don't do that, you don't do the other thing. But that's an interesting approach to getting people on the straight path over there.
Yeah, because right now it's necessary. We got kids dying in the street. We got young people all over the place. We got kids running amok. We got babies having babies.
Mm-hmm.
And no one, and the church is no better than the world.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not even a safe haven now.
How do you get, I don't
don't know how to express what I want to say.
Huh?
People seem to be losing their humanity. The human interaction, getting along with people, talking with people, mm-hmm. respecting people. How do you instill that in young folks today when it's so hard? They're so distracted with everything.
Mm-hmm. I believe that, first of all, it starts with teaching. Once again, it goes back to what are we permitting our children to do? What are we allowing them to do? Now, in saying that, I am not saying, well, tell your children, if you don't say yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, that I'm going to punch you in the throat. That's not what I'm saying at all. But what I am saying is that what are we teaching them in regards to why? Why should I show you respect? That's the question that is often asked. Why? For what? You don't do it. So what we see
is what we emulate.
Is what we will emulate. It always begins with a C. Now I'm the type of person, I'm a Bible man, I know this isn't a biblical show. But when you deal with
we do Bible here.
When you deal with Adam and Eve, of course, you know, first man, first woman, and they produced a child called Cain. The first thing that you have to understand between chapter 3 of Genesis and chapter 4 of Genesis, the thing that you have to understand is there was no conversation. There was no recorded conversation between Adam and Eve before the reproduction of Cain.
None.
Now, the thing that you have to find is that when God asked Cain the question, where is your brother? What did you do? The blood of your brother cries from the ground. All the excuses that he made was a spirit that he picked up from Adam and Eve. Because Adam and Eve resembled those same characteristics when the Bible says that they heard God, his voice, walking through the garden. And he said, Adam, where art thou? Well, I got nervous because I was naked. It was the wife that you gave me. And then the wife says, well, it was the serpent that beguiled me. All those excuses have been stemmed from generations. And then if you go on and read a little bit further, the Bible talks about how there was a man by the name of Lamech. Lamech was a part of the generation of Cain. And Lamech was talking about, I'm going to be just as bad, as big and bad as I want to be, as Cain was when he killed his brother Abel. So if that is possible, the thing we have to understand in our minds is that the thing that we are seeing now, the thing that is reproducing itself, is not something that has happened overnight, but it's something that has been generational. We've been so busy discussing a branch when we're supposed to be discussing a root. Does that?
I hope
that brings a little bit of clarity.
Did I tell you?
He wants to be a finance dude.
I told you. I called him elder. You know he's a preacher.
Yeah.
And he is who he is. Yes. We that's all we do is just dialogue. But it is true. And to change that, you got to go back to the root and change the root so that you can change the order of the tree.
Mm-hmm.
Because I can say this, being that I know his father. I've got to get his father to quit saying ma'am.
Good
luck. His father is the same age as I am,
yeah.
And he says ma'am to me. But then I say sir to him.
Well, it's a demonstration of respect and affection.
It is absolutely. It's, mm-hmm. And we earn it and we give it and that we have it within us.
Mm-hmm.
But now we have a generation that has not seen the respect that it should. So it has not learned the respect that it needs,
mm-hmm.
so that it can have self-reliance.
The problem is learning the respect. You can, you know, the parents are there, but in today's world, the influence of the parents seems to be on the wane. My goodness, they turn television on and they see some of the stuff that's on TV. It's just absolutely awful, and how mm-hmm. people treat each other and how they treat everything is just. I'm looking for a show that positively shows families on television today, and I'm trying to think of one. I can't think of any.
The family, again, when you look at this in a worldview,
mm-hmm.
the family is no longer important. And the reason why the family is no longer important, if you look at it in a spiritual view, is because the people of the kingdom of God are not elevating the importance of family and then instituting it inside of their own homes. See, I am supposed to be, if I look at this as the Bible says, I'm supposed to be the salt of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm supposed to look at the Manji family and there is a father, there is a mother, and there is a child, and I see an order there that I'm supposed to look at and say, I like their order, and I want to follow it. But
it's disdained today.
Correct.
I mean, it's not only not paid attention to,
it is,
it's actually they
right.
being attacked.
Correct. And so we now say, why should I become a family when I'm doing fine, just me and my son, mm-hmm. and not have a father? Mm-hmm. And because we've taken that away and we've not learned of the hierarchy and of the importance of having the covering of the husband, the wife, and the children, and understanding that there's an order, because God so loved the order that he gave his only begotten son. We no longer want to have order. And so without order, there's chaos. And when there's chaos, there's destruction. And that's where it comes in. How can we actually function in disorder and in chaos? And that's where we see the disconnect. And that's where I'm going to go back to when you said the revelation of one.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean?
Well, when we deal with back at one in its essence, we're not necessarily looking back at one in this numerical number.
Okay.
But rather, we're looking at back at one as a location. Back at one as far in being one from the spiritual end, being one with God again. Because when we constantly do the things that we want to do that are outside of the will of God, we consistently disconnect ourselves from him. And then being one as far as this location is concerned, being one with one another again, beyond denominational lines, beyond organizational lines, political lines, cultures, creeds, being able to be a unified body again, that way we can all operate effectively and go towards the same goal.
Hey guys, I have my cameras up. I was supposed to record you, and I forgot to turn them on. Hold on just a second. 518, your mic is on.
Good afternoon. I was calling in to listen, and I didn't expect to have to speak. You guys,
you don't have to speak.
Are talking, huh?
You don't have to speak. You can listen.
Well, no,
I know who
no,
this is.
I really want to say something. I like what you touched on with the standard part. I think what we have to now teach this, not this generation, but every generation, but specifically since we're talking about young people, I think all people have this problem. You guys remember the candy Now and Later? You remember that candy?
No, it's before my time. Go ahead.
Yes, there you go, Chase. Now cut it out. Now, the candy Now and Later is symbolic of what we all have a problem with. Specifically, young people show us, but older people, they do it and we see it, but it's hidden in so many ways. But time is what I'm referring to. And when you're talking about a standard, we're talking about teaching young children time. Time says everything about how we should operate. And what we don't do is teach properly time. The young scholar in the room with you should also know the scripture in Ecclesiastes 3, and that references time. There's a time.
So every season there's a time.
Time. And young people, specifically, when they make bad decisions, usually most of those bad decisions are decisions based out of time. And they fail the test. All they have to do is understand time. So the question now becomes, do you know how to tell time, young person? Do you know how to tell time, father? Do you know how to tell time, mother? Do you know how to tell time? Because if you can't tell time, you're ultimately going to make a decision that it's out of time, which goes back
but
now.
Why
to
you gotta
standards.
Come in and be deep?
Well, it goes back to standards and it goes back to standards and rules because what we set as standards and rules, Tracy, go follow me. What we set.
I can't follow you. I gotta go back to Calvary.
Well, let's get with Calvary. Time. Let's look at the time they're in right now. They're trying to one regain the time. People are missing time right now.
You just went off a cliff around the world. Back
all
to,
right,
back
all
to,
right, all right.
Hang up the phone.
I'm just...
Elder Tyson.
Yes, ma'am.
Tomorrow,
yes.
You have... And I wanted you to get that out because what you said, you will elaborate on, not in the detail of the conversation, but to bring people back to a sensibility of self-worth
mm-hmm.
inside of this conference series.
Yes, ma'am.
Tell us a little bit about the conference series that's going to happen on in June what?
June 7th through the 9th. June 7th through the 9th.
What days are those?
There is a Friday, Saturday, and a Sunday.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am. During this conference, the theme of this conference is in tune. The scripture says that he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying unto the churches. The thing that we are trying to get people to understand is how to be in tune, how to operate effectively, whether it be in leadership, whether it be in worship, whether it be in corporate America, the political arena, in every area of life, that way they're able to be effective in whatever they do. Being in tune, whenever you are, I used to be a first chair, upright bass player, loved what I did. And there used to be a gentleman who used to sit next to me all the time, but for some strange reason, his bass was always out of tune. It was so irritating, and whenever we would play, he would always be the one that's off. It's not that he did not have a bow. It wasn't that he did not have the instrument, and it was not that his bow did not have the rosin on his bow, but rather his instrument was out of tune. And the same applies to many of us. It's not that we don't have the gifts. It's not that we don't have the talents. It's not that we don't have the anointing to be able to operate in areas such as these, as the ones that you're operating in now. It's just the instruments and the sound that we are producing from our instruments are out of tune. When we say they're out of tune, you have no self-worth with what you're producing. You have no self-confidence with what you're producing. What comes out of your instrument is gossip. What comes out of your instrument is division. What comes out of your instrument are things that are contrary to productivity. So when we're getting in tune not only with God, but we're getting in tune to where we understand that I can operate in this effectively. I can do this because this is what I have been chosen to do. And one of the things my father has always taught me is that the chosen have no choice.
And he wants to be a finance guy.
I will be.
He will be a finance guy.
I will.
That's just
because finance, and kingdom, finance and ministry are one and the same.
Mm-hmm.
I read an article, and I'm going to take a break, and we're going to come back, and we're going to talk about chicken. And before I go to break too, I read an article, and I put it on my Facebook page that 460 billion dollars has been raised inside of the African American churches that have been reported to the IRS since 1980, I think it is. If you don't know what to do with what's in your hand,
mm-hmm.
you will have what you have. And what has happened is people have gleaned resources, but haven't known what to do with the resources that they've gleaned, and so it's been of none effect.
Mm-hmm.
And so instead of us watering the grounds around us, we threw out weeds.
Mm-hmm.
And in this dispensation of time, it is time for us to begin to gather and to plant seed,
mm-hmm.
and to know the difference between seed and bread. Some you eat, but a lot you sow.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I look at him going into finance, even as a minister, he will have the knowledge to be able to multiply that which is given into the ministry so it will help the community.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Not just feed them for a day, but prepare them for a lifetime.
Absolutely.
And that's truly, truly important in this new time. Whether it be a church or whether it be a nonprofit organization, you're going to have to learn how to multiply that which is in your hand,
mm-hmm.
so that it becomes sustainable and can feed me.
Mm-hmm.
Because the philanthropic days that we know of the past are pretty much gone.
I that's what I've been giving the message to my groups that I work with that are 501c3.
And they need to learn.
It's a different time, yeah.
It's a different time. You know, people just aren't passing out money just for the sake of passing it out.
Very true.
You're going to have to learn how to plant it and make it grow. Listen, I'm going to take a break. Tomorrow, you're delivering fried chicken dinners.
Well, we're selling and delivering.
You're selling and delivering.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Fried chicken dinners over on Oak Hill, 1812 Oak Hill Avenue.
No, say that slower because they get lost.
I got you. 1812.
1812 Oak
Hill Avenue. Yes, ma'am. Right here in Youngstown, Ohio. Fried chicken dinners we have. You get two pieces of chicken, two sides, a dinner roll, a dessert, and we have a drink for sale as well. All for $7.
Now I got a question.
All right.
Hey, Tracy.
Mm-hmm. Now, y'all ain't going to give me a piece of Sam's Club. cupcake, is she?
No, you don't have to. You don't judge. Don't judge the cake by its cover. Don't judge the cake by its cover. No, what we're giving you is going to be good portions.
No,
good portions.
I'm not the portion size.
Yes,
I want to know. I'm going to go. See, there's church's chicken,
mm-hmm.
and then there's church chicken.
I got you.
I want church chicken, not church's chicken.
No, you're not going to get no church's chicken.
I'm going to get church chicken.
You got good
chicken.
Good chicken. You got good bird.
Good bird.
Good bird.
And
good
so
bird.
If they want to order or if they want to, and there's a limit, I mean, for you to go how far you want to take at least three dinners out
mm-hmm.
with the delivery.
Yes, ma'am.
But they don't want to just deliver a piece of chicken.
Hey, Tracy.
Gas is, I just put a posting on my Facebook. $5 is no longer gas money.
It sure isn't.
So if you have an office and they want to have a dinner, you want to do something really great for a young group, you can call what number?
Area code 330-747-4445.
And, at least four dinners, and they'll deliver the four dinners to your offices.
Be glad to. I'll do it myself.
Yeah, I saw you said you're going to deliver the chicken.
Mm-hmm.
I expect to see you tomorrow delivering chicken.
I'll be here.
Hey, the number is 347. Hey, Jeff, I've got your chicken tomorrow. 347-945-5229. We'll see you on the other side of the break.
Let's talk for a moment about a great doctor. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. And read the testimonials at aiwhealth.com.
I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one.
All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper bag. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley only has one goal, ensuring your health so you could fully enjoy all of the times of your life. 1350 Fifth Avenue in Youngstown. Call 330-746-7007 and visit aiwhealth.com.
Boardman Frame House Gallery, a professional frame shop and art gallery at the Mark Shopping Center in Poland at Routes 224 and 680. We specialize in original, limited, and antique lithographs of both renowned nationally published artists and local artists. We have over 30 years of award-winning custom design and archival framing. We give your artwork a unique presentation that enhances its value for life. Let your home or office express something individual and unique with a fine art limited edition print signed by the artist and numbered. You'll find many unique and affordable fine art editions. Visit us in the Mark Shopping Center. Find the Greenwich Workshop Catalog. And for any print or canvas you order, you get 50% off the frame for that fine art edition. Find us on Facebook or call us at 330-758-5795. That's 330-758-5795.
Howdy, I'm so excited. Charlie Saver Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Saver Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Saver Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Saver Barbecue Sauce. The full cup of love.
Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a cup of love.
If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
Fit Family. Unique, individualized, and promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austintown designs a personal exercise program just for you with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austintown receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com.
That's fitfamily1.com.
I'm Mark Lavoie, WSOM News. The Youngstown City Council approved a plan to seek proposals for the future of the city's parks. Youngstown has 45 parks that are designed to serve about 150,000 people. That's more than twice the city's current population. The council wants ideas for an affordable park system that provides the needed services. A convicted felon from Cincinnati is charged with raping a woman in Warren in April. 23-year-old Kevin Johns, who has spent about 3 years in prison, did not enter a plea in a hearing yesterday. Prosecutors say Johns raped a 20-year-old woman and kidnapped her and another woman. Police have arrested an Austintown man in connection with an explosion at a house that was caused by cutting through a gas pipe. 27-year-old Sean Villers is accused of breaking into the vacant home to steal copper. He's also accused of robbing two gas stations in February. You're up to date. I'm Mark Lavoie, WSOM News.
Do you depend on your computer? Then you know that a virus on your computer is bad news. But there is something you can do. Just call this number, 330-759-9700. That's 330-759-9700. That's the number for Ambassador Technologies in Liberty Township. Ambassador Technologies specializes in virus removal and restores your computer to full performance. We also specialize in computer repair, from desktops, laptops, laptop screens, laptop power supplies, laptop batteries, and hardware updates. And when your business needs networking, Ambassador Technologies is the place to go. Ambassador Technologies, Youngstown's best for computer repair, networking, website development, and even low-cost business cards and publishing. Call Ambassador Technologies at 330-759-9700. Online at ambastech.com. That's ambassTech.com.
At the Law Office of J.M. Shade, we focus on estate planning for the elderly and people with special needs. We'll help you find a way to pay for long-term health care, write your will, and set up a trust to avoid probate. Estate planning is essential for everyone. Don't delay and leave your family to deal with the stress after you're gone. Show them you care. Call us today, 866-606-6187. That's 866-606-6187. JMSElderLaw.com. Estate planning made simple.
1-800-530-WSOM or 347-945-5229. Call in now to talk to Tracy and friends on Newstalk 600 WSOM.
Thank you.
Well, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600, and I have the privilege of having Elder Tyson in the studio with me, Elder James Tyson from Calvary Ministries over on Oak Hill, and he is the youth pastor there. They have an upcoming conference.
Yes, ma'am.
Seminar. Is this the first? Is this an ongoing? You know, how did this come to be?
This all started last year. Last year, the Lord laid this on my heart to be able to do this on last year. This is the second annual back at One Youth Conference. This conference, it draws young people from around the city, from around the country, and there are those that are coming from parts from Canada, to be able to come together beyond denominational lines, organizational lines, to be able to gather together and be able to create a platform for God, for Him to be magnified and glorified, and for us to learn how to be better in Him.
So now, can the young at heart come?
Of course you can. I'm glad you said that.
I'm still young, but you know, I got just a couple days on y'all.
You still young?
Okay, I'm straight.
You just the older young.
That's okay. The older young. So I can come?
Yes, you can. Absolutely. Originally, Ms. Tracy, we had planned for our target age group to be between 16 to 28. I found out this year that age bracket has been blown out of the water.
Okay.
For those that are coming, it's not just teenagers, not just 20-year-olds. I had some 30 and 40-year-olds trying to come and figure out, how does this thing work? What's going on with our young people? I don't get it. So help me understand. So this is definitely a time where it's a time for knowledge, understanding, and development.
Who's coming? Who's going to be here?
Oh, my gosh, so many. On Friday night, Pastor Jason Austin.
Who is he?
He's from Detroit. Grand Rapids, Michigan. I apologize. Grand Rapids, Michigan. But he's a powerful man of God. He is one that definitely, I want to say, is definitely relevant when it comes to delivering a word to young people, but has the ability to bridge generational gaps between the older and the young as well. That Friday night at 10 p.m., and I'm extremely excited about the number one gospel artist in the country right now, Jonathan Nelson. He's going to be here. He's gonna be here, and I'm so excited. He just put out a new song, his album just came out actually, but his single was Finished Strong, and he is topping the charts right now. He's a wonderful man of God. Also, my sister, my god sister, Marquita Danzi. She's a new artist on the scene right now. She is gonna be here that Friday night, that Saturday.
Wait a minute. You said 10 o'clock.
10 p.m.
Do you know what time 10 o'clock is?
10 p.m.
you want old people to come out at 10 p.m.? You know, we got a bedtime.
Yeah, I understand that, but I believe that you can make...
We can make it.
You can make the sacrifice. You can make that sacrifice. We're not going to hold you long. I promise you won't.
So that's 10 p.m. on Friday night.
10 p.m. on Friday night.
Okay, Saturday.
Saturday. First of all, beginning at 9 a.m., we're starting out with prayer. My father always taught me before there could be great programming, there must be great prayer.
Okay.
And that is a necessity. Going into that Friday morning service, evangelist
Yay.
Marissa Farrell from Baltimore, Maryland. She was just recently on the Word Network, 23-year-old young lady who is beyond a powerhouse. She has fire in her belly, and she has the ability to reach so many young people. Going into that 12 o'clock hour, we're going to be going into our leadership luncheon where leaders are gathering from all over the country and from all over the city. And my father, Bishop C. Sean Tyson, is going to be the keynote speaker for that leadership luncheon. And then we're going after that. Well, before that, rather, I'm sorry. Before that, we have our tune-up sessions. Tune-up sessions is a fancy word for seminars. But we're calling them tune-up sessions. All the way from Berkeley, California, Elder Christopher Foster is going to be teaching on how to lead in tune. He was a man. He was on MTV. He's been on BET. He's been on so many areas, and he is a dynamic man of God. Teaching worshiping in tune is going to be my sister again, Marquita Danzi, and then also how to be young, saved, and successful. That seminar is going to be going on simultaneously. And my cousin, Dr. Lena Scott, she is a dentist. She has her own practice in Indianapolis, Indiana, and she is very successful, how to be young, saved, and successful. And then we go into the leadership lunch where my father will be teaching. And then after that, we got a lot going on Saturday. That Saturday, immediately after that, we're having a panel discussion. We're having a panel discussion called Living in Tune, H-O-2-L-Y. Why is it, and I saw a look on your face when I said it, why is it that our young people would rather live on the left side of holy and not live out holy? So you're on the H-O side. And not
H-O-L-Y.
Well, see, I know you would catch it. We're gonna be dealing with some really hard topics. Why is it that our young people don't want to come to church? Why is it that our young people don't listen? Is God relevant? Are the standards that we set, is that relevant? Is that applicable to our generation? Does it apply to us? And then even the older young people. There you go. The older young people that are coming, they want to know what's going on with my kids, what's going on with my grandchildren. Tiny's Jay from Cleveland, she's going to be the moderator, and then we have others, so many coming in from all over the country and also parts of Ohio to be able to figure out and ask these questions. There are going to be questions that are going to be asked, hard questions that are going to be asked. Why is it that it's cool, it's like okay to sleep with somebody on Saturday, but then still come in church on Sunday?
And I can answer that now.
Okay. I'd be glad to get the answer.
Because the saints before you did the same thing. That's why. Okay, go ahead. Go to the next one.
The root and not the branch.
See what I'm saying?
that Sunday is going to be a powerful service is at 11 o'clock. The international president of the Pentecostal Churches of the Apostolic Faith, Elder Aaron Porter, is going to be joining us all day Sunday from at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. So for those who have their morning worship services at 11 o'clock or during the day, if you do not have the evening worship services, we'd be glad to have you during the 6 p.m. service, and Elder Porter will be preaching during that time as well.
Sounds like a full couple of days.
I plan on being there on
and
one
it's
of the
only
days.
In a nutshell.
I plan on being there at least one of the days. All the days.
Mm-hmm.
How much is the luncheon and for the registration fee?
As far as registration, now I will say this: we have because Sunday is Pentecost Sunday, we are doing something called the Pentecostal Registration Special.
$50
for the exclusive package. Everything that involves a conference, you can get
the concert,
the
lunch,
the luncheon,
and the word,
the seminars,
all of it,
everything, the skating party that's going to be going on that Saturday at 7.
You missed that party.
I know. There's so much going on that it just slipped my mind.
Wait a minute. You want women? You want to be in church all day long and then go skating? You really think we're all young?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, go ahead.
I think we can do it.
Okay, we can.
I think we can do it. Because if we can use our time to do whatever else we want to do on a Saturday.
Registration is how much?
For Sunday through Wednesday, midnight on Wednesday, it's only $50. Only
$50.
And that gets you everything.
That's a skating.
Skating.
Luncheon.
Luncheon.
Concert.
Concert.
Services.
Services.
And the
seminars. Yes, ma'am.
That's pretty good.
Skating party, everything.
That's it.
For only $50. Now, there are group rates available for all ministries, for all organizations or businesses that want to come and be a part. There are group rates available for 5, 10, 15, and 20.
And they call?
They call the church.
Give the number.
330-747-4445. Or go to the website, www.calvary4u.org.
And can I pay online?
Yes, you can.
Okay, so I can pay online for
yes,
PayPal
ma'am.
Or whatever I have
yes,
there,
ma'am.
And just it's $50 for that time. If I register outside of that time,
mm-hmm.
from Sunday to Wednesday, how much is it?
From now up until Sunday, and then after that Wednesday, for the exclusive package, it'll be $65.
So you can save $15.
Mm-hmm. Save $15.
$15 is gas, at least a half gas tank in some cars.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Yes, ma'am.
Not mine.
It's not mine either. Yeah, I'm trying to help it out.
Yes, ma'am.
And listen, I'm going to take a break real quick. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. This is Jonathan Nelson. This is who's going to be in concert on that Friday night.
Yes, ma'am.
And cinder block.
I'm going to post a picture. Go stand by it.
These DVDs are really wedged in here.
Oh, no, don't touch it.
For high-end solid wood products, trust the Amish craftsmanship of Weaver's Furniture. Custom orders are available. Just stop by the Weaver's Furniture Showroom at 4537 Gates Road, Middlefield, Ohio. For store hours and more, call Weaver's Furniture 440-693-4685.
Your car will look brand new after a professional cleaning at Kingly Hand Wash and Wax. All work is done by hand, which protects the paint, leaves no water spots. You won't believe how good it looks. Walk-ins are always welcome, or book an appointment for a full detailing. Thursday is Ladies' Day. Get an additional service free with any regular wash. Kingly offers pickup and drop-off service. They'll take you to work, an appointment, and pick you up when your car is ready. If it's not Kingly, it's not clean. Kingly Hand Wash and Wax, 309 West Midlothian Boulevard.
Let's talk for a moment about a great doctor. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. And read the testimonials at AIWHealth.com.
I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one.
All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper bag. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley only has one goal, ensuring your health so you could fully enjoy all of the times of your life. 1350 Fifth Avenue in Youngstown. Call 330-746-7007 and visit AIWHealth.com.
330-781-9600, 1-800-530-WSOM, or 347-945-5229. Call in now to talk to Tracy and friends on News Talk 600 WSOM.
We're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. I want to thank Elder Tyson for coming in and hanging out with me. Mark, it's been a great day.
I've really enjoyed sitting with James.
It's my pleasure to be here.
It's kind of cool, ain't it?
Terrific. What a great guy.
I've met him a couple years ago, I'd say, and he was just starting Youngstown State University, and I was impressed with him just about his demeanor, because there's a lot of people that you see, and you know, you gave a compliment to me the other day, and you said, "Tracy, you're the real thing." And I don't think people really understand how much of a compliment you being the real thing is. That's just, it is what it is.
Yeah.
What you see is what you get. And to be consistent and be, you know, what she says, who she is, that's a, and he was the real deal.
Yeah.
He had a friend, Mark Jackson.
Yes, ma'am.
And there's another young man. They just the real deal. They're just, what you see is what you get. What they talk about is what they live. Mm-hmm. And, you know, everybody has their issues, their ups and downs, and they go through life. You know, he punched his debt. He only did it once. And now he feels as though he won't do that again.
Never again.
But we are people, and people are people. And I think people are looking for people who are genuine. And the world is looking for a genuineness. Mm-hmm. And the reason why we are not being good witnesses, those of us who are people of faith and believe in Jesus Christ, is because we are not showing them the genuineness mm-hmm. of the Godhead.
Mm-hmm.
People want to see what they want you to live what you preach.
Sure.
You know, if you're going to be a dope dealer, be one. If you're going to be a preacher, be one. But it comes with a responsibility that you should be always on your mark.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think we, as the people of faith who say that we believe in Jesus Christ, are standing on the mark and being who we are.
Mm-hmm.
And then you wonder why kids, young people, don't want to become what we are, because they can spot a phony before it shows up.
Yeah. Well, you know, the issue is how we get more like James out, you know,
there,
and for people to look at and say, this is the model.
By being genuine.
Yeah.
How we get more? Because real will attract real.
Very true.
Real, you know, people, when you're in need of a physician, you want to go to a real doctor. You don't want to go to the person that you played doctor with.
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am.
And you may not need it, but when you want something, when you want to have a friend, you want to go to someone that's really real
mm-hmm.
and that you can trust, that if you say it, I believe that it's true, and the effectiveness. And Elder Tyson, that's right, Elder Tyson is the real deal. And he's a young man who is trying to do the best he can, and he has a passion for young people. And I would ask that all people that are in within the sound of my voice, even if you're outside and you want to fly in, you know, we got an airport that'll get you here and wherever you're coming from, but then you get you close, Akron, Canton, Pittsburgh, Cleveland,
mm-hmm.
come on in. But it is worth taking the time to come out and fellowshipping with the Calvary Youth Department.
Yes, ma'am.
And I'm waiting to hear you preach. Dude, I haven't done that. I heard a snip of earlier today.
Oh,
so your daddy,
no.
You might have to move out that chair.
He's fine where he is. He's fine where he is.
No, I'm going to have to move. Because I hear your mama's off the chain. But
oh,
know,
my gosh.
But I hear, I'm telling your daddy, he might have to move one seat over.
No.
No, because I saw
right
him.
Where he is.
I saw him preaching. You know, he's a man who enjoys his dinners.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw him leap across the room one day, and I was like, whoa.
That's him. That's him.
It's like a transformation. I'm like, wow, look at God.
Mm-hmm.
But it's an honor and a privilege to have you here.
Thank you so much.
And I appreciate what you do. And for those of you, it is June 7th through the 9th.
Yes, ma'am.
At Calvary Ministries. You can call the church at
330-747-4445.
You can go to calvaryforyou.org. Calvary and the number 4 and the letter U.org. And also tomorrow they're raising money. Why are you raising money? Why are you raising funds?
We're raising funds beyond having a conference. My objective is to be able to reach the city and then to be able to reach the state and then to be able to reach the country and be able to reach the world. And you cannot do that if you do not have the resources to do it. So we're doing everything that we possibly can and anything that we possibly can to be able to reach those with the resources that we will bring in during that time.
Okay. Because we have to, let's be real about this. When you go out and you ask for advertisement, it doesn't come free.
Mm-hmm.
Billboards are not free.
Right.
Literature is not free. You know, everyone gets paid. And actually, if it's done right, it actually promotes the community because you pay into the city which you're in.
Mm-hmm.
So tomorrow. They can call the church also and get a chicken dinner.
Absolutely.
And either you can pick it up or have it delivered.
Yes, ma'am.
And thank you so much. I'm at the end of my day.
Thank you so much.
Hey, you've been listening to Tracy and Friends. Tomorrow is open mic. I will be sitting here eating fried chicken and a dessert with a roll and two side dishes. So they will
and
be
dessert.
And dessert. I will be sitting here eating them as Jeff and I do open mic. Jeff will be here with me tomorrow. I'm even going to buy him lunch. It's an expensive lunch, but I'm going to buy it for him anyhow. You've been listening in, Tracy and Friends. Mark, thank you for coming in.
It's always fun, Tracy. Thanks for having me.
See you in a week? In 2 weeks?
Yeah,
Three weeks. Well, there's five Thursdays.
You're assuming I can count. I mean, that's a wrong assumption.
Okay. Hey, guys, we love you. We'll see you guys on tomorrow. Have a good afternoon. And... God bless.
I think y'all got it all over the building. Everybody just raise it up and say, oh, 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 oh. My name is Victory.
My name is Victory.
Can y'all clap your hands? Come on, help me say, God gave me
authority.
Conquer the
enemy.
He wrote in
my destiny
that my name is.
Listening to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends.